Blog Talk Radio.
The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Right step in the wrong world.
And I need
fit family. Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 Boston Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, you can listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
When it was your father's Democratic Party, gas cost 25 cents a gallon, and a loaf of bread was 22 cents. The Pledge of Allegiance was said in school, and we prayed each day. Religion was respected. The government was there to help those in trouble with a hand up, not a hand out. People worked hard, and success was admired. America was strong. We did not apologize. Is Obama's America the change you voted for? This election, vote to make America, America again. Sponsored by RagPack, not affiliated with any candidate or candidates committee.
You've heard it all before. Gold and silver prices are at record levels. And you've heard all the promises from the out-of-town companies saying they'll pay the highest prices. But can you really be sure?
Everybody says the same thing. It's spinning in everyone's head, but where do you go? You go to First Choice Coin in Boardman, paying highest prices guaranteed.
Meet Tom, owner of First Choice Coin and Jewelry in Boardman, and he'll make sure you get the highest price for your unwanted gold or silver.
We pay the highest prices guaranteed. Check around, get your prices, and we guarantee we'll be the highest prices paid for your gold and silver.
And what makes First Choice different?
We're locally owned. We have many return customers. We have a lot of people that check prices, and they end up at our store. And we also offer jewelry repair, jewelry appraisals. We have a GIA graduate gemologist on staff.
First Choice Coin and Jewelry, 7807 Market Street in Boardman, next to Boardman Nissan. Call 330-629-9990. See store for gold guarantee details.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care.
Join Turning Point Counseling Services on Thursday, November 8th for a special discussion with Dr. Brandi Kelly on how to deal with the holiday blues. Many people experience an increase in depressed mood, anxiety, and substance abuse. Dr. Kelly will explore ways to cope with the holiday blues. Find out more. Call Turning Point Counseling Services at 330-744-2991. That's 330-744-2991.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. Today is the 16th of October. Today is sweetest day, if I'm not mistaken, and I hope that you guys have someone that you can be sweet with. I just have myself, so I just have to be sweet all by myself, but it's okay. But I just realized that a few minutes ago, so we'll probably chime in on that a little bit. Today is Tuesday, and tonight is the debate that everyone has been waiting for between President Obama and Governor Mitt Romney, and it's going to be an interesting one. We're going to talk about that today. And I'm in here by myself for a little while, so I'm going to need for you guys to call in and give me some input and some talk, because I'm running out of things to say today. The number here is 347-945-5229, and I do want to hear from you. It's 2 minutes after the hour of 12 noon. I hope you're having a good lunch. And tell me what's going on in your world. I'm going to place a clip. I was sitting here and thinking about, while I was trying to prepare for the show today, and, you know, the American electorate, they really need an education. They need an education that is very, very politically astute. I'm going to play a clip, like I said, in a few minutes, and I noticed that a lot of people go to the polls. Tonight they're going to watch the debate, maybe. And they're really not going to really know a whole lot about what they're watching. So they're watching for zingers. They're watching for, liners. But as far as them really paying attention and knowing what they need to know about the issues at hand and where we're going and how we're going, they really don't have a handle on that. So when you're listening to what's being said, they don't know. And because they don't know, we're listening for something that we're not going to get. And because we are looking for something that we're not going to get, we get what we have already in our elections. And that's how people are getting elected. We have turned this political campaign into a popularity contest and really not looking at what people bring to the table. We don't listen to what they say. You know, I had a man tell me the other night, you know, I know President Obama said this, but I'm quite sure he's going to change it when he gets a chance, because there's no way that he could let that be allowed. And it's like, no, he said what he said, and it is what it is. And you have to listen to what he said, because he's not lying. You know, when we talk about fundamental change of America, you know, you got to understand the fundamental change of America is not necessarily going to Washington and making people get along. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that how America is looked at and what we see in America is going to change. You know, we are going to become a society that is not going to be as, and I hate to say it, we're not going to be as free as we are, because we're going to have a lot of our policies set by the government. Policies means laws. They're going to be set by the government, and those government people are going to rule, because anytime you have entitlements, you have regulation. Anytime you have regulations, you have limitations, and so those limitations, those regulations will begin to overwhelm us and take our life. And I'm not quite sure if we understand that. I'm not quite sure we understand what that means and how that will affect our life. And us being so very lax in doing this and becoming, so very nonchalant in our politics, we don't understand that it's not always good. You know, sometimes we look at, if you give this to me free, it's great. And what I'm saying is, free is not always good. And we need to understand that. Free is not always good. And because free is not always good, free comes with obligation. And so when you look at health care, and even if you don't have to pay for it, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have a responsibility and a limitation and regulation on top of it. And sometimes those regulations and those things that we have allowed to sneak into our society, they're going to come back in and bite us in the butt. And so I want to really get you guys to understand that we need to learn more. So as I play this clip, I want you guys to listen to it And this is from the 2008 election. They had already voted for President Obama. They had come out, and they were a supporter of his. And with the support that they had, they really did not realize what they were saying and what they didn't know. So they walked in, and they made a very, very crucial decision based upon the presidency, but didn't know anything about the infrastructure of the presidency and the administration that they needed to know. And I'm saying this because I'm laying the foundation for today's show, because today's show is going to be about the debate tonight, and people are going to watch the debate tonight, and they're going to think that they are listening to something, but they don't know what to listen for because they don't have a clue about what's going on around them. Take a listen.
Which party currently controls Congress?
Currently, like, I don't know, actually.
The Republicans.
Republicans control Congress?
Now, I want you to know this is when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House.
Okay.
It's not current.
That's
this
my
is
honest answer.
This is 3.5 years ago.
It's Republicans are controlling it now, I believe.
What, the Republicans? Which political party currently controls Congress?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Do you know who Barney Frank is?
No.
How about Nancy Pelosi?
No.
How about Harry Reid?
I've heard that name, but I don't know who that is.
What do you think of Barney Frank?
I have no idea who that is.
Nancy Pelosi.
She's pretty cool.
Harry Reid?
I don't know who that is.
What do you think of Barney Frank?
I don't know him.
I don't know who Barney Frank is.
What do you think of Harry Reid?
Don't really know Harry Reid.
I don't know Barney Frank.
What do you think of Nancy Pelosi?
I only know the name. I don't know the face.
What do you know about Harry Reid?
Nothing.
What do you think of Barney Frank?
Who?
Harry Reid.
Don't know that person.
What do you think of Harry Reid?
Who is Harry Reid?
Barney Frank. Don't know him.
What do you think of Barney Frank?
I've never heard of that person. Who is he?
He's a congressman. How about
okay.
Nancy Pelosi?
I've heard of her.
What do you think of her?
I think she's a fair lady.
Do you know if she's a Democrat or a Republican?
No, I can't say that. I don't know for sure.
How about Harry Reid?
Haven't heard of him.
And what do you think of Barney Frank?
I don't really know him.
How about Nancy Pelosi?
Don't know her either.
Harry Reid?
Don't know him either.
Which of those people wore clothes that their party spent $150,000 on?
Phelan.
Which of the pregnant teenage daughter?
Phelan again.
Which wore clothes that their political party spent $150,000 on?
Sarah Palin, I think.
Which of the four has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Palin.
Which wore clothes that their party spent $150,000 on?
Palin.
Which has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Palin.
Which has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Sarah Palin.
Which of the four candidates has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Palin.
Which wore clothes that their political party spent $150,000 on?
Sarah Palin.
Which has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Sarah Palin.
Which of the four has worn clothes that their political party has spent $150,000 on?
Palin, Sarah Palin.
Which has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Sarah Palin.
Which has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Sarah Palin.
Which of the four has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Palin.
Which of the four wore clothes that their party spent $150,000 on?
Palin.
Which of the four wore clothes that their party spent $150,000 on?
I know that was Palin. They made a big deal about that. But you gotta look pretty, right?
Which of the four has a pregnant teenage daughter?
That was Palin.
Which of the candidates has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Palin.
They're our next door neighbors. And you can actually see Russia from land here in Alaska.
And I can see Russia from my house.
Which said that they could see Russia from their home?
Oh, that would be Palin.
That woman, Sarah Palin.
Palin.
Oh, Sarah Palin.
Palin.
Palin. Sarah Palin.
I can't think of a name right now.
Sarah Palin?
Sarah Palin. There we go.
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin.
Palin.
I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go.
Which claim to have campaigned in 57 states?
Sarah Palin, I don't know.
57 states? Probably Sarah Palin.
I have no idea. 57 states. I have no idea.
I don't know. Is that Palin? 57. I don't know. Sarah Palin?
57 states. That sounds like something Sarah Palin would say.
McCain.
I'd put that on Palin.
McCain. Which won their first election by getting their three opponents from their own party kicked off the ballot?
I don't know. That sounds like something Sarah Palin would do, but I don't know.
Sarah Palin?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Who?
Obama.
Are you serious? Wow. Huh. Sarah Palin.
Oh, was that McCain?
I don't have a record of that.
That probably had to be McCain.
Mark my words. It will not be 6 months before the world tests Barack Obama like they did John Kennedy.
Which said that Obama would be tested in his first 6 months by an international crisis?
I don't know.
McCain.
I don't know.
McCain.
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 Which had to quit a past presidential campaign because he was found to have plagiarized a speech?
Probably McCain. Wow. I don't know, but that's exciting. Who?
Joe Biden.
Are you serious?
Don't know that one.
Which, I don't know.
It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum.
Which said that his policies would bankrupt the coal industry and make energy prices skyrocket?
I don't know.
Maybe Biden. He has a way of putting his foot in his mouth.
I heard that. I haven't really looked into that one, but it did make headlines.
Did you find that troubling?
I don't have a lot of trust in the media to know where that was coming from.
McCain.
McCain?
I think McCain.
McCain.
And I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for it.
Which said that the government should redistribute the wealth?
I don't know.
So you agree that government should redistribute the wealth?
Yeah.
Redistribute the wealth? I like it. From what I know about it, which might not even be the right thing, I like it.
To redistribute wealth? I don't know. It sounds like a good thing, but...
What do you think of Bill Ayers?
I don't know who he is.
You don't know who Bill Ayers
no,
is?
No, I don't.
What do you think of Bill Ayers?
I don't too much know anything about him.
Bill Ayers? I don't know.
I washed up terrorist.
I don't know Bill Ayers.
Do you want to see again?
What do you think of Bill Ayers?
No, I don't know him.
Have you heard about Bill Ayers?
Yes, but I don't know the details.
Where do you get most of your information?
NPR and PBS.
So where do you get your information from?
Mostly from the news medium.
What kind of news
TV,
medium?
TV, CNN. Bill Maher is a great one.
I don't watch a lot of media. Yeah. So who do you like to get your news from?
I don't have a TV, so, you know, I read the New York Times, but BBC, I guess, if I watch TV, or, like, CNN, maybe.
Do you like MSNBC?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like John Stewart.
You get your news from John Stewart sometimes?
Colbert Report. I think I'm not as informed as I thought I was. But I still don't think I would change my vote.
Do you understand that that is not a good thing? And no matter who you're voting for, I mean, that's frightening. That's frightening. And if the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break in a moment. I want you to call in. I'm talking about it's an open mic, but it's overall we're talking about the debate tonight. And so people will watch, 4 or 5 million people will watch the debate tonight and have no clue what they're listening for and or what they're talking about, because we have not given them the education that they need so that they can make critical decisions on how to vote. And I look at, what people give out. I look at the commercial advertising. I look at the radio advertising. And this is for both candidates. I'm not going to be, pie in the sky and say everyone's better than the other with some things. But I just want us to understand, she said that, one of the ladies said she got her information from, Bill Maher. Or John, I can't remember John's last name. But listen to this. Do you know they're comedians? Do you know that they make money on a mockery? When you listen to the clip and they said about seeing Alaska from her house, she said there are parts of Alaska where you can see Russia, but she didn't say that you could see it from her house. But everyone took it from Tina Fey, who was on Saturday Night Live. And so now we say that she saw it from her house and not what she actually said. And do we not pay attention to this? And look at what we've done to our country, and we wonder why we're in the mess that we're in. It's because we have allowed our entertainment celebrity endorsements as well as our naivete to make decisions for us on things that are very, 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 very critical. And that's very, very sad. We're going to have to, as Americans, stand up and become a little better educated, a lot better educated on policy, on Republican, Democrat, on candidates. Find out what their past is. Find out what they're saying and where they stand and what things mean. Because if you don't know what it means when they talk about quantitative easing. And most people don't. And this is some of the brightest people, because if you're not an economist, you don't know what that means and how it makes it work and how it affects your daily life. And if you don't understand that, what you fail to realize is you will be in a situation like we are in today, and we don't even know that the water is getting ready to boil. Because today, America is in a pot of hot water. And most people have no idea that we are just degrees from boiling. I mean, if we want to go back to, I think it was Netanyahu, Bibi Netanyahu, when he came to speak to the United Nations, and he said, Iran has the ability to almost make a nuclear weapon, and they're right here. At least they have a gauge of where they're going. He said they're in the red zone. Right now, America is in the red zone, and the decision, and actually they're in the turning lane, and there's only two ways to turn. You can either turn left or turn right. And when I say that, I'm not trying to be partisan within the politics. I'm just saying you can turn left or you can turn right. There's only two ways to turn, and you cannot continue straight, because if you continue straight, you're going to go off the cliff. It is what it is. If we continue on the road that we're going to go off the cliff. The question is, does America really understand that we are in the red zone? We are in the line of we have to make a decision. And do you understand what your decision means? And do you understand what direction those decisions are going to take? And because when I come back from the break, I'm going to talk about some national security issues that probably will be talked about here in the debate. They're probably going to make it very, very fluffy tonight. But I'm going to talk about this because it looks as though Hillary Clinton is taking the brunt of what happened over in Syria with the ambassador. And I need for the President of the United States to step up and say, you know what, it was on my watch. See, leadership takes us the glory as well as the fall. And we need to understand that. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'll be right back.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by
Lucas Sinovich and Associates is a private mental health and substance abuse.
Hi, I'm attorney Jenny Ashade. Making decisions about long-term care for yourself or a loved one isn't easy. It can be very overwhelming. How to pay for everything is a major issue. Let me show you where to find the money. Call the law office of J.M. Shade at 866-606-6187 and schedule a free consultation. Home visits are available. Find out more at jmselderlaw.com, 866-606-6187.
This is my parents' Mercedes M-Class. And one day, I'll drive my kids to school in it.
Don't look now, but someone else just may have their sights set on your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. And who could blame them? After all, every one of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes a rigorous inspection by factory-trained technicians to ensure it meets the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And considering we invented the automobile, those standards are indeed high.
I might even drive them the long way to school.
Plus, every one comes with a warranty and roadside assistance for up to 5 years and 100,000 total miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius satellite radio. Come in for exceptional financing on our certified pre-owned vehicles today. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned. Today could be the day you get not only the car you've wanted...
And no way am I letting my kids put their feet on the seats.
But the car they'll start wanting.
See dealer or call 1-800-FOR-MERCEDES for complete program, including certified pre-owned, limited warranty, and Sirius satellite radio details and limitations.
Isn't it time you shared some musical moments with the Youngstown Symphony at the Majestic Powers Auditorium? Join me, Randall Craig Fleischer, and the Youngstown Symphony Saturday, October 20th at 8 p.m. at Powers Auditorium with Van Cliveren Piano Competition winner Dee Wu playing Rachmaninoff's romantic Paganini variations and Tchaikovsky's powerful Fifth Symphony. Call the box office at 330-744-0264 or at YoungstownSymphony.com. You'll never forget it.
It's time to save a lot of money on over 300 of the area's best and safest pre-owned vehicles during the Stadium GM Used Car Superstore's Mark 'em Down and Move 'em Out sale. We've got back-to-school specials as low as $4.99, a great selection of tough trucks from just $9.99, interest rates from 1.9, and best of all, a second-chance finance department that will make sure you get the credit you deserve. Take the short drive to the store where Zero Down delivers every day. The Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem.
Woo! Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com or hit us on Facebook. Or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner-city organization of believers present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time. And that's what we do at HeartReach. And we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. The Youngstown City Council is considering authorization of a payment to Mahoning County for housing inmates who were charged with violating Youngstown City ordinances in 2011. The city is believed to owe the county $225,360. The city has already paid more than $231,000 through the first 7 months of this year. The state Supreme Court has scheduled a hearing in the case of a fired public school science teacher who kept a Bible on his desk and was accused of preaching religious beliefs in class. John Freshwater was released last year. And state officials are spreading the word about a plan to better coordinate care for Medicaid beneficiaries with severe mental illness who also face chronic medical issues such as heart disease or diabetes. Under the new service, providers would partner with doctors, pharmacists, social workers, and others to better address the mental and physical health needs of the patient. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. The number is 347-945-5229, and we want you to give us a call. It's an open mic, and we're going to talk about the debate. And I'm talking about the ignorance of the American electorate, because I don't think we understand how it affects us when we are, the Bible tells me that for the lack of knowledge, the people perish. And there is a lack of knowledge that is permeating our society, that is causing us to make decisions based on just peripheral sound bites and or cliches and good drama or what party I stand for. You know, I ask people over and over again, have you ever read your party platform? You say that you are this. Have you read your contract? Do you know what it means? Do you know that it changes every 4 years? Do you know who the Speaker of the House is? Do you know how the process is? Do you understand that the Constitution is a living document that should be breathing and that you should be actually dealing with this? Do you understand that? And most people will tell you no, and they don't care. And we look at our life, and every aspect of your life, from the clothes that you wear, from the food that you eat, from the water that you drink, from the schools that you attend, to the job that you go to the money that you spend, it is all governed by political policy. It is all governed by political policy. Do you not understand that? And that political policy, it moves through your society and through your life. And however you vote is however it is affected. And because of it, you have no idea what's going on with it. I'm going to make a special announcement. It looks as though I'm looking at here, it looks at tonight at 6 o'clock, there's going to be a meeting at the McGuffey Center in reference to its future. And there are some serious concerns, and it's on Facebook, so I might as well read it out loud. You can put it on Facebook and put it on the radio. The meeting is tonight at the McGuffey Center here on the east side of Youngstown over on Jacobs Road. And there are some major concerns about the future of the center, and they need for you to please attend the meeting. And those of you who are a part of the city of Youngstown, and those of you who are concerned about the city of Youngstown, you need to come out and you need to find out what's going on with the McGuffey Center and or the Associated Neighborhood Center. The Hankstrom House, which was on the north side, is already gone. McGuffey Center is one of the last community centers that is in the city. And so I am going to ask that you please stop in. If anybody can call in me and tell me a little bit more of the details, here at 347-945-5229 and or 330-781-9600 if you want to call locally. I would greatly appreciate it because I do not know the details of the severity of this, but I do know that it has to do with the future of the McGuffey Center. And this is what I'm talking about. I mean, you don't miss your water until your well runs dry. But there is an opportunity for us to make some changes and to do some things differently and to move some things forward. And because of our passiveness and because of our just being straight up lazy, because of the nonchalant attitude that we have here in America, we are allowing great things to fall by the wayside, including our freedoms. And if you think big government taking care of you is going to be the end-all and answer-all, you are sadly mistaken. I don't think we really – and I know I sound like a broken record, and until somebody calls me and talks to me and makes me go off and say something different, I'm going to continue it. But I don't think we understand that we are shifting into a gear, and we will not go back in reverse if we go there. And it's not going to be good for us as Americans, and we're going to have to really start paying attention to what's really going on here. And I'm talking to college people, I'm talking to people with their PhDs, and I'm talking to people who can't read, write, or chew gum and walk at the same time. It will affect your life. Hey, Alabama, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm listening, and I agree. But, we can't have a real discussion if people are going to go with caricatures or guesstimations about what they feel about people who have different views.
Don't you think it's our fault?
Well, not necessarily. Well, yes, our fault is, but it's like if you're going to be, what I like to say, intellectually lazy and just put a whole party in a category in a bottle, then I have problems with that. I was just on a girl's page at work this morning, and somebody took a picture of some racist guy. I don't know if it's Photoshop. They got to be careful. But he had put the white back into the White House.
You saw that too, huh?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, here we go. You know, so, okay, so I'm going to go vote for Obama and his policies just because I want to stick it to the man. And this is a girl with a PhD. I'm not talking about somebody that is just, you know, a stripper that dropped out of high school. I'm talking about somebody that really is educated enough that if we're fighting against people like that. And the problem is these people are articulate. They know their stuff. They're smart, but they're wrong. So,
but let me ask you this. I don't know. I know you're my Facebook friend.
I posted that video on your page yesterday. When you play it?
No, I ain't played it yet. That's too much like right. No, that's too much like right. I ain't got that far yet. I'm still trying to get through what somebody wrote and says, I believe in this free democracy, but Tracy, you take the cake. You must be getting paid a pretty penny from the fascist. Mitt Romney can roll over and off the cliff of the Empire State Building as far as I'm concerned. And if you would like to hold his hand while doing it, along with the other hoodwinked individuals, let me help you with the task.
That's what I'm saying. That's probably somebody with a PhD. That's great. He probably got a job, educated, went to school.
He ain't dumb. He went to Ashland University. He's not dumb.
That's what I'm saying. If people like that, if you're going to have people like that, that's why I said this country is headed off a cliff in that, and I don't feel like it's going to recover. Because we're going to reach a tipping point where more idiots than non-idiots. And when I say I mean useful idiots, not true idiots, but people that are more emphatic about this stuff. And, you know, and that's the problem. I mean, we got Barack Obama because of this. People, I mean, you know,
but,
zombies voting for this guy last. They didn't care what he did.
But I'm with you on that. But the question is, tonight is the debate. Tonight is the debate. Do we
realize he's going to win tonight. He's going to win regardless. Barack. He's going to win the debate because he's only got one place to go, and that's up. And if he goes up, he did so much better. I really like this point. He won. And they're going to try to help him in the polls.
But do we understand that most people don't even know the words that are coming out of his mouth, what he's saying? Do you really believe that American Electric knows what quantitative easing is?
Yeah. You're right. I mean,
do we understand that when the dollar goes down,
but
bread
goes
up?
That's not even getting discussed in the debate by either candidate.
Why not?
I'm just saying. Almost like.
Bill, why not?
People don't even see that as a financial problem. That's the thing. Like, I guess that's what Alex was saying yesterday, is that people see, and I ain't gonna lie, we do have to reform a lot of these social programs, but at the same time, people are not really looking at everything. And if you take that quantitative easing is just as,
and they'd be like, yeah, that sounds the same to me. It works. Do we understand that?
That's not even being discussed by the media. I mean, that was a little quick story they had about 3 weeks ago. We had heard anything else about it, have we?
No, EQ. That's not. We're not going to talk about that. I talked to a man the other day who's a preacher, who didn't believe me when I said that President Obama stood up and had a press conference and said he endorsed same-sex marriage.
And
you don't hear about that anymore, do you?
That's what I'm saying.
Have you heard that?
Many people like that out there. It's too many of them. It's too many lazy people that don't want to get involved. Look, if you disagree, but you ain't lazy and you did your homework, I respect you. I respect people that disagree, but they back what they have to say up with facts. But if you disagree and you go on with some regurgitated story you saw on CNN, I don't even want to talk to you. Just go ahead and push your button.
So why do we allow this? And see, I blame those of us that are in media. I mean, I talked to someone the other day, and they said, Tracy, you know, you trying to be like the next Rush. I told them I will never be Rush Limbaugh because I never want to be a sensationalist. I never want to make decisions
and do talk radio
sensationalism.
Why do you say that? Because, let me tell you why I disagree.
Because Rush is a shock jock. He says things with shock value.
That's what I'm saying, but everything he says, to a certain extent, most of it, because I used to hear the guy was racist when I was coming up. I listened to him for years, and now I was like, man, this guy actually makes sense. What's the problem? I have a problem with people like Joy Behar. People like, now that's when you start talking, you know,
when
he was on MSNBC.
Now that's clueless.
That's when you start to get into some real propaganda.
The reason why I say that about Rush, I try not to talk about my counterpart because he's on the same time I am, but this is the issue. When you look at what he did 4 years ago when he had people who were the Republican to change over to Democrat so they can vote in the primary, that's a sensationalist.
Yeah.
He says some things that he says some racial things for sensation. He's divisive for sensation.
The hoping that he fails, I was listening that day when he said it. So it was kind of, when I heard the media and it became a big story, I was like, that's not racist. He just was making a point that,
but
I'm
he knew
so
it.
Quick to just say, are there people racist out there? Yeah. Do people have these leanings? Yeah. Are some of them conservatives? Yeah. But
some of them are liberal too. You see, we forget that Bill Maher ain't the happiest, friendliest black family friend in the world.
No, he ain't.
I mean, we act like one party is racist and the other party is not. That's not true.
But that's what I'm saying. But Tracy, I'm saying, and this is my mentality. If I had a show, I'd be like, look, you know, start saving your food, your beans. Get your passport. Because it's coming. It's too many. It's due. It's time. It's just like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's coming as far as with America because I feel like it's just people. It's too many people that got their hands out. You got people in these other foreign countries that got a fraction of our economy. They're calling us stupid. They're saying the Chinese people laugh at us. Like, you Americans are stupid. You know, y'all It's like y'all don't want to be successful. You know, they. I mean, these, that's
we
how
don't.
They look at us.
We
Man,
don't.
It's a call. You go from what I hear, it's a common. I'm supposed to be going to Hong Kong in a few months. It's a common thing over there that Americans are lazy. They don't want.
We
you
are.
Know. So, you know, so when Mitt Romney made that comment, and everybody, oh, how dare him? He's talking about my mom. I'm like, oh, man, I don't even know your mom.
But we are lazy. We are lazy. People come here to be successful. People are here and won't become successful.
Yes.
I mean, that's real.
That's the way I look at it.
People come here and they do whatever it takes to get an education
well,
in the United States of America.
The debate is going to be about if you're honest like that tonight, you won't make it into the. I mean, he's going to have to act like he cares about. They don't say care about, but I mean, he's going to have to act like he believes everybody's not lazy 100%. Look, it's some lazy people out there. I know a lot of, and you know, and people need to stop trying to act like everybody in America. It's a big. It's probably a good 30%, 40% that really are. You know, want to work the system.
Yeah. Actually, if you think about it, some of them are very, very productive people because if you look at when you talk about paying their fair share, when he talks about plugging the loopholes up of corporations and corporate taxes, do we realize what that means? Do you know how many loopholes are in the tax law?
That'll never happen. Corporations are 500 years old. No, they're 500. They had those back when Christopher Columbus was coming. They had it. That's what they were started for, to protect people, ship merchants, that, you know, they'll have five or six ships out, and if the guy didn't come back, they're losing everything, their house, and so they stopped it. They made it in London. So these people, these laws, that's why they always say it's better to have a C-Corp than a LLC because of the tax rate. The tax rate is lower. You got the protection of a C. It's a lot of stuff that. Yeah, man, that's why when they talk like that, if you understand the way money works a lot of times, you laugh at these politicians. Yeah, he's lying. He's never going to do that. Where's he going to have his money?
So you don't think they'll do it?
They got their money. No, they're not going to do it because it's coming. Come on, I'm going to be honest. Anybody that makes money, anybody in America that makes money, after they blow a couple of million at the car lot, they're going to probably go and say, okay, let me go find me a good attorney and a tax accountant and make sure I have to pay as little as possible in taxes.
That's what I'm saying. And if he plugs up all those loopholes, as Mitt Romney said, that's what he said. If he plugs those loopholes, why
not?
Why not? I bet
he is. Not.
I'm telling you, I'm betting you dollars and dollars.
I'm
going to tell
you what I'm not going to do. This is what I'm not going to do. If Mitt Romney wins, I'm not going to just believe Mitt Romney's going to fix all our problems.
I didn't say that.
I believe Mitt Romney is better than Barack Obama at this point, but I will never. You know, I was asked that this morning. I said, I'm like, look, the gas price is going to go down. I said, I don't know. I mean, telling us that we should pay higher gas prices, you got to go. I mean, that's the only reason I'm saying Barack. I mean, Barack is just blatantly saying he wants higher utilities, higher gas. That's what he said out of his own mouth.
He said that out loud.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
But see, I'm for the poor.
I mean, Mitt Romney is more for the poor than he is.
And the number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can at 330-781-9600. But I said, I bet you. Now, I'm not saying he's going to fix all the problems. I'm not going to say that we're going to be out of debt. I'm not saying all that. What I'm saying is he is going to plug up the loopholes in the tax. You watch. He's going to take a whole bunch of loopholes out of the tax code, and he's going to take off a whole lot of folks.
But let me ask you this. I don't think so. I'm going to tell you why. Because let's take Ford Motor Company.
Uh-huh.
Ford Motor Company, Ford Motor Foundation, a nonprofit organization. That's why you got Coca-Cola Bottling Company, Coca-Cola Foundation. These people have so many ways that they can clean and hide their money, make a donation to their own foundation. They can loan money to the foundation. It's crazy how stuff works. As nonprofit, that's why they'll never just get rid of that.
Why won't they?
Kind of, because it's wealthy people out there that want to keep their money.
And what I'm saying to you is, I believe that he's going to try to do it.
I doubt it. He might do something for the grandstand for everybody and show, hey, I did this. I stuck it to the man, but not really. Plus, he's one. This guy's been in business for years. He's not going to really shut down. Come on.
I didn't say shut him down. I said close the loopholes. See, General Electric right now is not paying too much tax. I don't think they pay as much taxes as I do.
Like for example, all the money that's overseas right now with American, you think he's going to get all that money from Switzerland and Cayman Islands and get it all brought back here to be taxed?
But we're talking about corporate tax. We're talking about loopholes in the corporate tax code, because right now there are tons of them. How do you be as large as General Electric and not pay, and General Electric owns almost everything and not pay taxes in the United States? How does that happen?
Yeah, mail. Oh, give me one second.
Hold on. Go ahead, local call. You're on the air.
Tracy, I agree. I think that corporations such as General Electric and even your oil, people that have something to do with oil and other manufacturers should be paying their fair share in their taxes. There should not be no loophole.
But do you think that Mitt Romney will plug that loophole? Because that's what I said. I believe he's going. I believe that he's going to. Because he said it, and I believe he's going to try to do it. And that's really going to be funny. But I'm telling you, I believe he's going to try to do that. Whereas we know that President Obama, he is going to try to. He's going to redistribute wealth. He's already told you that. He is going to take from the rich to give to the poor, because he believes the rich have too much. And so whatever he can take from them, he's going to take, and he's going to try to give it to people that do not have.
Well, Ms. Tracy, I mean, by rights, if you go back in the past, I think back in the 50s, if it wasn't for the wealthy, they are the ones who helped build the, the infrastructure that we see here in the United States through their tax dollars. And if it, they're the ones that helped to bring about the middle class. So wealthy people did pay their fair share in their taxes.
But see, no, but President Obama said he's all about redistribution of wealth. And these are questions that they probably will not ask tonight.
Well, Ms. Tracy, myself, I'm undecided because like you said that, you said that, we have to question about Obama. And then Jeff. Is he there?
No, Jeff's not here.
Oh, well, Jeff constantly tells us that he is a progressor and that he's not for this country here and that he's a globalist, and because of, I think, the man that helped support him.
So you're talking about President Obama?
Yes.
Yes.
And that he, George Soros, and that Bill Ayers, who had something back in the 60s, I think he had something to do with, he wanted to... blow up the Pentagon or something like that.
Bill Ayers, I don't remember what he was trying to blow up, but
he was against the war in Vietnam.
The question is, why hasn't the media actually taken him to task on some of his that's another issue all in itself, because the question is, why has the media not question President Obama about his ties to Bill Ayers?
Because they like Obama, most people.
But just because I like you does not mean I should not question your motives and what you've done and what you're doing.
But that probably may end up being brought up.
No, it'll never be brought up. It hasn't been brought up already. It won't get brought up now. It should have been brought up a long time ago, but the question is, why have they not brought it up? And if you have a good journalism department, you would bring up information even if you told them so that they can get an answer. But there are certain things about President Obama that they have never questioned him on.
Jeff said that Obama as well as Mitt Romney, they both have been picked by the corporations.
It's still
both are progressive.
Doesn't matter. The question is, why has the American electorate not reached out and asked questions, and the media been true to themselves and done what is necessary so that they can actually tell the truth and or let people make the right decision? And so the question is, who owns the media?
Well, we know the corporations own the media.
I know, and everything is a corporation. I'm a corporation, Steve.
In other words, we know that those people who has control over the research, such as the Federal Reserves,
they don't know. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true.
Those families, those seven families.
You talking about the Bilderberg Group?
I think it's the Progettis, the Rockefellers, what they call, I forget what they
So, Steve, so all of us sell out because the Rockefellers own something? That's the issue. That doesn't make sense to me.
I used to know what that was, but it has something to do with, man.
It's all right. I do it all the time. The number is 347-945-5229. I just want to know why no one's asking these questions, no one's answering the questions. And tonight we have a debate, and most people don't know what they're talking about.
The thing I have to say is that I would like to believe that the president really is for the American people. I would like to truly believe that he has our best interests at heart. But the way you keep saying that he doesn't have our best interests at heart.
I don't.
And that he neglects, especially us who view him as our boo, us black people.
He does.
Because he hasn't put anything
he
in
hasn't.
The black community to build up our own community. So
and he still ain't, and wait a minute, the election still, he still hasn't touched down in a black community yet.
But still, Ms. Tracy, as I said in the past, is that he can't. He has to be deceived as being a president for all people.
Wait, hold on. So why can he be, if he's a president for all people, why can he be the gay president? Hello?
Well, because he's the type of person that doesn't want to legislate morality.
So it's okay for him to be, it's okay for him to be the gay president, but it's not okay for him to be the black president. Is that what I'm hearing?
No.
That's what you're saying?
No.
He's the president. He's the first gay president. That was on the front page of Newsweek magazine.
That doesn't mean he's gay.
I'm not talking about him being a homosexual. I'm talking about him, the legislation. Listen, what I'm saying is his legislation, I know he's a man of color, but his legislation tells me he can be more than that.
For the black farmer.
He can't be. No, he gave some money to the black farmer. You throwing a crumb on the ground does not make you do anything.
Can he do? We are considered as minority. We're not the majority.
We're not even.
Be divided.
Steve, if black folks withdraw their vote, I promise you he will not be elected president. If black folks say, you know what, I'm not voting for him this year, he will not be the president of the United States. He will be sitting at home.
He won't be the president of the United States as white America.
No, Steve, if black America does not vote for him, he will not be the president of the United States of America.
Sure.
Black people do not understand how much power they have this year. They
don't have that much power.
Yes, you do.
No, we don't.
Yes, you do.
How?
Because you don't.
We are not the majority.
You don't have to be. It's called Electoral College.
We're not the majority.
Steve. That's what I'm saying. When I go back to talk about ignorant, we are ignorant because we don't understand the Electoral College. The Electoral College says if he don't get a certain percentage of the black vote, he's going to pack up his stuff and definitely
right.
go home.
You could be right about that, Ms. Tracy, but I don't think you're totally right.
Because I know folks don't want to believe the power.
Still outnumber us.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't
then
matter.
You have your undecided voters.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He's got to get a certain percentage of the black vote, and if he does not get it, he will not be the president of the United States of America. And the problem is black folks don't know how to get what they want out of him because they still calling him his boo. And so they're going to let him use them one more time, not get nothing from him, and he's still not going to do nothing for them when he gets there.
But, Ms. Tracy, how do we know when he becomes to be a lame duck guy that he would not? Because
he ain't never done nothing for black folks in all the time that he's ever done anything.
Because he can.
No, see? He ain't done nothing, period.
Look, Obama's a very intelligent guy.
Right.
He knows the system. He knows how.
He knows. He knows that black folks got power, and he knows that he can use them without giving them anything, and he knows that he can pimp them. Yes, go ahead, Bill.
Let
me make a point.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. Tracy, the problem I have is everybody just assumes off the top this guy's intelligent. He is not rude at someone that has a brain. That gay move was stupid. He really lost 15% of his black vote right there. That was
he sure
stupid.
Did.
Why is everybody? We don't know his grades. We don't know anything about this guy. But he's intelligent just because he can speak well. I'm sick of that. That's why the country's over.
We ignorant. We don't understand the power that we have. And he overshot his hand. Now tell me he didn't overshoot his hand. He overshot his hand, did he not? his cockiness got in the way of the election because he thought he could say it, get away with it, and it'd be okay.
He came out better saying on this Benghazi thing. He came out better saying, well, you know what? We dropped the ball. It would have been over last month because they want him to win the election.
Now
there's no way you can sit up here and say if your Secretary of State taking the blame, you got to take the blame because you put her in a position.
He's not going to do that. Hillary's already come out and picked up the ball. So we know who the leader is, right?
Once she does it, he has to.
He can't do it.
That means you're the leader and you put incompetent people in charge of the State Department. That's the problem. So he has to take the blame. That's just by definition.
Do you really think he's going to do that tonight?
If I was debating him, he would. That whole little 47%, I'll be waiting on that. That'll be a home run across the fence. I start talking about redistribution of wealth. I bring up that. Well, when you were talking to Joe DiPalma, you said that you wanted to redistribute the wealth straight out of the Communist Manifesto. If I assume you're a socialist because you made that comment, come on, man.
Yeah, he should be redistributed. Hey, this is 269. Let me say something with the one thing I do agree with Tracy about is that, and Alabama, he has not made any concessions for the black community. I agree with the brother. He's not going to do that. I think he can do that. That's where the brother's wrong. There is some things he can do. But he is not going to do it. And like you said, all of these are just interest groups, like you said. The homosexual community, there's all types of interest groups that he run up under and hug and kiss and make moves for. So I would not let him off the hook talking about he can't do nothing for black folk. That's
no. Because, see, you can deal with crime and do a whole lot for black folk.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
You can deal with education and do a whole lot for black
folks. That's right. I agree with you.
If you want to know what civil rights is, it's education. Because if you can't, because right now folks just want people to breathe and come to work.
Now here's what I will say. I believe he could be forced to. I don't necessarily think it's the Electoral College the way that Tracy's talking about. But remember, we had this conversation. First of all, if the black community is an interest group, it doesn't even have an agenda.
They ain't got no interest.
Now, how you going to tell somebody to do something for you? You haven't even said what you want done.
Because we don't know.
That's not his fault.
What's your agenda? What do you think we need? I'm asking 269, what do you think we need to do?
Well, specifically for the black community, I do think the issue of mass incarceration, he can put, Justice Department, who's over the Justice Department?
Eric Holder.
That's right. There's all types of things that they can do within the Justice Department to re-engineer that thing to where the systematic mass incarceration of black men is not going on. He can do that. I agree that the concept of school choice is better for African Americans than public education. I agree.
But he can't say that out loud because that's not in the Democrat platform.
Right. That's correct. That's correct.
And he can't come after stuff that's not in the platform because it goes against what they stand for because that's where they stand in opposition to the Republican Party.
I'll give you another one. Another major one is get all of those doggone bases, change the relationship that America has with the African continent. There's a whole lot he can do there. And whether y'all believe it or not,
you smoking crack.
Huh?
You smoking crack. You know he ain't going to do that.
Yeah, okay. Well,
they get mad. They said he don't even take care of his family that's over there. So you know.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, come on now. Even if, and I know that, you know, I'm quite sure he feels if I do anything for them, they're going to swear him down. I'm really from Kenya. But if I
so
was
what?
President, would you do, would I would do something?
That's right. He's weak.
I
he
throw
weak.
A dog a bone.
No, he is weak. Barack Obama is a weak president. I had no question about that.
So
he
why
is very
we,
weak.
So why we still
well,
paying allegiance?
Well, let me ask you that 269. I mean, Bush did a lot of stuff for Africa. I mean, a lot of money is well documented. He's still doing it to this day. I mean, so
What needs to happen as far as Africa, that's why I say that's a different discussion. The first thing that needs to happen, and we'll probably disagree here, but the removal of so many American bases off the African continent, that's one major thing. And then there's a couple of other things that has to do with a trade back and forth. But like I said, that's a different
discussion.
Well, let me
ask you this, though. You think it's just America? I mean, what about all the Chinese? The Chinese have bought up most of Africa now. They own Africa, not us.
Well, they haven't bought up most of Africa, but they are. Well, that's I believe that's what I'm saying. That's what the American president, black president, could put more attention on Africa. It is the new frontier. We just don't know it.
We know
us blacks over here. No, I'm talking about the blacks over here in America, and that's why we're not over there, Alabama. There's a lot he could do. You could make more money now as an entrepreneur investing in African industries and stuff than you could in America.
So the question is, why in the world?
I mean, but that's a divide, though. The digital divide, the digital divide is still coming over there, so I agree with that. I mean, that's,
But the question is, if you really want to think about this, right now, tell me in the last 3.5 years, if you were a community organizer. Community organizers mean I try to bring policies and procedures to underclass settings, unless I'm wrong. Am I missing something?
No, that's correct.
That's what community organizer means, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm an organizer, I truly understand what's going on in the inner cities of America. I have the opportunity as the president, the first black president of the United States of America, to make some serious, serious changes when it comes to the mindset of the people who live in the inner city. Because I know that why in the world would I go this long and not even land my plane in an inner city?
No, you're right on that, Tracy. Now, I tell you, when it's there, it's there. When the chip fact is there, it's there. There's no excuse.
And why would we let him get away with it?
Wait a minute. One thing, to Tavis Smiley and Cornel West's defense, they've been on him from day one. And the problem I have is with people like Steve Harvey, Tom Joyner, those are the useful idiots that keep people in the corral and keep us fired up about Obama. They not, those guys were on him from day one saying, let's do this, let's do that.
Yeah.
Not doing, even though I don't agree with everything those guys say, 60% of what they're saying is needed. I mean, everybody, white, black, everybody agrees with that.
So the question is, why we do nothing about it? I mean, seriously, in the world could Tom Joyner be getting? Tom Joyner let Tavis Smiley go because he wouldn't step out and kiss the cow.
You know what? I'm going to add something else. And I believe this. I really believe this. Now, y'all know I'm a Pan-African, but I believe that he would not get a lot of flack from Democrats or Republicans if he rolled a set and said he wanted to do some specific things for the black community.
Neither one of those groups would deny.
Nope.
But he's such a great communicator and speaker. He could have used that gift. He was really a wasted potential. He could have used his gift of speaking to explain, just like Ronald Reagan, this is why I'm doing it. Because we are disproportionately more on welfare than anybody, and it's a burden on our people. So I'm going to go out and fix this by allowing us to have businesses and all corporations and do our own manufacturing. That's how you think.
Do you realize, Republican and Democrat, I believe with my hold up. Yeah, you're going to get some flack from some folks. Don't get me wrong, but you're going to get flack. You're going to get flack no matter what.
He's going to get flack. I don't even think you would be
getting flack anyhow. He getting flack for just standing up. So you might as well just take him real flack.
You would get real flack.
That's right. You would get the flack anyway. Right. Just go and do your thing.
And a lot of people vote.
How we know he would have got flack? White people, everybody wants that.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's like, who's going to be against him?
Oh, now don't get me wrong. Somebody, some cook will find something wrong, but that's okay.
Because
I'm gonna talk about you anyhow. So let me talk about you by you doing something. So when you leave, leaving a legacy.
Obamacare, instead of forcing through Obamacare, which most of the country didn't want, this would have been his chance. He really kind of messed up. When he did Obamacare, that's why 2010,
he lost the house because he came in forcing this stuff through and already the rule from day one, like you said. I mean, I think he kind of he came in there with the wrong attitude.
Dennis Kucinich went on a plane ride, and everybody knows he was the most liberal congressman in Congress. He did not go for Obamacare, and they took him on a plane ride. I think they threatened to take him out and hang him. And he came back with a changed mind.
Yeah, if he was going to try the universal health care, I agree. He would have been better off trying to. That would have probably been, it would have been better received during a second term if things economically would have been better. He probably had a better chance of people receiving that. I agree. That should not have been his major agenda.
So tell me.
He could have did that in the first 6 months. He could have had all these programs, social. He could have did all that stuff, social reform.
Yeah,
black people get small loans, micro loans.
Yep.
He could have really changed the game.
So why didn't he do it?
You're going to get $90 billion to Solyndra, another company going out of business today. I can't stand him. I don't like him.
So why didn't he do it? Why didn't he do it?
I don't like
That's the question. So, and the number is 347-945-5229.
Let me give you my – I think the brother has a big-time identity crisis. I think it's all there.
Explain that. Because everybody may not understand what you're saying.
I think he is torn between the white side of him and the black side of him, and I do think he, even though he has a beautiful black wife, I do think he kind of resents his African side, and he does not want to lay claim to it. That's an idea.
But the African side is the socialist side.
Well, wherever you go from there, that's what I think it stems from. The brother has an identity crisis.
But see, and let me say this. When you say, I tend to agree with you, not by identity, but just not under, you know, it's one thing to, and I said this to someone yesterday, it's one thing to know something. It's another thing to be able to be a part of it. There are black people that have more compassion on people of color than President Barack Obama. There are white folks that understand us better.
I think 269 has a point. I mean, every time he's talked in front of black people, it's been very condescending and scathing. I mean, he comes in like, you guys, you know, you ain't being a man,
right.
You ain't this, you
he's
ain't that. Right. Man,
right.
Who are you? Who
right.
are you?
Right.
Like, you know, you guys, you know, quit complaining, quit. That's get him.
Off the couch, take off your house shoes, and let's get to work.
Every time he addresses the African-American community, it's always with that type of deep-seated hatred. You can kind of hear it in his stuff.
In Alabama, I'm going to ask you one more time. Then why are we all up in his grill?
Because he's black. It ain't got nothing to do with his policies. It's our chance. That's our, like, it's our chance.
Our chance to do what?
At least to touch what we never would thought we could ever touch, the White House.
I'm telling you,
I disagree. I ain't voting for him last time. I'm telling you right now, that's what it's about. We get our chance. We can say now, why? Nah, 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 cracker. That's how it is.
Now, I'm gonna tell you, Alabama. I'm gonna tell you something. Alabama is right on point. I keep telling people.
Y'all agree today, huh?
It's the truth. The election of Barack Obama for black folk. We're not talking about whether there was an intelligent move. It was more about being able to say we can stick our finger in the eye of white folk.
You know what it was? I told y'all that the other day. You know what it was? Now we've got that fan that we always fantasized about when we sat in church. Remember that fan?
Yeah.
You sit in church and the fan had the mom and the daddy, and they was holding hands with the little dog, and they had the little kids with the Bible in front. And you family to come from the funeral home?
Well, I'm going to tell you something to go back to what we were addressing. I think one of the biggest problems we have in our community are people like Steve Harvey. And, you know, that because Steve Harvey refuses, they don't even want to just entertain logic when you talk. Like, these people, whatever Barack does,
it's all right.
They just, we got it. We got his back. Instead of saying, well, you know,
you know, that's one thing I get Tavis Smiley, and you know, Tavis Smiley has been on some conservative shows. They'll sit there and say, well, we got some similarities. We can work together. Even with Larry Elder, they have some disagreements, but they agree on a lot of stuff, and they try to work. This guy's just total in the tank. I don't respect people like him. Al Sharpton said he hadn't paid his dues. Not Al, it's everything goes from him. You know, I can't respect people like that. I can't.
There's two reasons, I think, why they're going to re-vote for him again, now to answer your question, Tracy. I think there's two major reasons why they're going to vote for him again. Three, including what Alabama and I said about still being able to stick your finger. That one ain't as prevalent this time. The two major reasons is this. One, there is no black agenda, so they have no direction, right? And two, the Republicans have not explained enough why a change, how a change is better. Not saying that they know that they're going to get anything. I'm telling you, Republicans have not done a good job at doing it.
I don't want to argue with Nate. He just said, I just think also you have to look at the fact that it's just like if you look at cattle. You know, you got these prairie dogs and stuff that run around and barking. We got too many of those in our community. Soon as a guy like me stands up and say, hey, I'm a black conservative, man, I got to go over to Alabama State tonight, Black College, they watching the debate over there. I might, you know, if I smile or show some, I might have to get in the fight, you know, just because I'm going in the belly of the beast, Black College, you know. So, I mean, it's just like that. It's just you dare speak against or disagree with, even with Whoopi Goldberg when she was talking about Stacey Dash. She said, you know, I listen to Mitt Romney. He has some valid points. I mean, I might actually consider voting for a person like him.
But listen to this.
I'm going
to
tell you the fact.
Now, wait a minute, guys. Now, I got to throw, hold on. Wait a minute. I got to throw this in. I went to see Paul Ryan on Saturday. And there were three black people in the room. And one was working. And they had about 1,500 people there. And someone on my Facebook page put down, where were the black folks, where were the Hispanics, and where were the Native Americans? And all we want for them to do is come. If I can bring together 100 people, Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, because tomorrow Paul Ryan is going to be with Condoleezza Rice in Cleveland. They would sit down and talk to us about what we needed. All we have to do is put it together and say, listen, we want to hear what you have for people in the inner city and people of color.
But Tracy,
we can't get folks to show up.
Now, let me say this, Tracy. Now,
I'm listening.
It's going to hurt a little bit. But now, I think this is where I think you guys, as black Republicans, have dropped the ball. Let me tell you what I mean. Remember what I said. If you was to say, okay, 269, these are the agenda items that we see as black Republicans that are pressing in the black community. And this is the agenda that we're pushing. This is what we're sending to Ryan and all of them. And I said, show it to me, Tracy. But see, y'all don't have an agenda.
Yes, we do.
Anything.
Yes, we do.
Wait a minute.
I
just got I'm not disagreeing with you. But there's a disconnect in what that is for a lot. So, see, for a lot of conservatives, the problem with conservatives, the way it looks like people don't care and they think they're heartless, is that conservatives truly believe if you get out of the way and let the free market work and we participate in that free market free of any crony capitalism, then we will be a success because we have done it before. It's just that they don't let us – they don't know how to articulate that as well as we would like. And so there lies the disconnect. I think – I believe that too. I don't think – Look, I know you, and I'll venture to say 269, if I ask you, I say, hey, do you believe that we need help, or can we help ourselves? I think you believe most people don't think necessarily I got to get a check to make it. Most people think if you get out of my way and get these regulations out of my way and allow me the free market and my desire and my creativity to get out there, man, I put my energy and my resources together. Black people are the most creative. We make up dances every day. Every 2 days, we got a new dance. We got a new. So I'm sure we can create things in business.
And
that's why I think Alabama, y'all, the smartest of the Republican Party, and the whatever. No, I'm not trying to be funny. But I think, y'all, the game has to be stepped up a little bit more. That's universal.
This is the issue.
Stuff,
see,
you're right.
No. But see,
right
we need.
About just getting out my,
But wait a minute, hold on, guys. We got to understand that Republican blacks are not monolithic like black Democrats. You understand that? When you look at Republicans and as African Americans, we are not monolithic in our politics as Democrats are. Democrats are, you know, they just there. We come from different walks of life, different agendas, and we're Democrats pay people to do stuff and to stand with them and to march for them and to do all that. Republicans don't pay nobody to do nothing. If you do something, you do it out of the free will of your own heart, because they don't pay for you to play.
But what we're talking about,
I the difference.
Is,
I think the 8% that's standing with black people has to be monolithic. There's no way
they're not. They're not.
When I say monolithic, I mean when they start talking about. You know, the basic fundamentals of being a Republican or a conservative. That's what I'm not talking about every Republican.
Okay.
Because you got homosexuals and Democrats, you got Jews, you got all these people got their own agenda, but they still vote for one party and they land it out and this is what we want. And black people trying to get in that line and say, hey, give me. And say, get out of my way. Instead of saying, get out of my way, we can do it. That's what
and
I'm
that's
saying.
True. That's
and,
true.
And that's what, and that's the problem, and I agree with 269, white conservatives that are the majority don't know how to articulate that. When they do, it comes off as who he think he is coming in our community trying to tell. So it's going to take somebody like us, it's going to take a Barack-type figure to come in that's just like Barack Obama, that's attractive, that everybody likes, but he's speaking those principles. He'll be able to reach across the aisle and do it. But we
hold on,
Michael Steele couldn't do it.
Michael,
hold on,
Michigan, hold on. I got calls waiting on me. Hold on, 409, your mic is on, and 773
hey,
Chicago. I'll be with you in just a second. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, I would say one thing though that's encouraging is this political cycle. There seems to be a whole lot more of black conservative voices coming to the forefront. People like Kevin Jackson from Black Sphere, people like Zoe from Macho Sauce Productions. A lot of pastors coming out lately, black pastors speaking out. There seems to be a lot of voices. Now, who would have thought Stacey Dash would have had the effect that she has, but there have been a lot of verbal things happening lately of blacks that are Republicans or at least have conservative values that are speaking out. And I just thought, as tight as this election is, how neat would it be if black conservatives happen to be the one to tip this election in Mitt Romney's favor? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, it would. But we're working on it, and I think it's going to be black conservatives, but black, it'll be evangelicals.
Right.
Well, Tracy, let me ask you this. Do you think that I think things are going to stay like they are until America gets so bad. That's when it's like at the end, that's when blacks are let break free of them. Until then, when it's just, all right, we don't have no more money, the dollar's gone, people starving, then they're going to start, they're going to let go of this government, help me. So until then.
But see, by the time that happens, we'll be too far gone. And that
will. It will.
We need to understand that by 2016, 2017, we're going to be so far in debt and over the cliff that we're going to miss the whole boat. And so we really can't wait that long. And as African Americans, another term with President Obama will spiral the American economy so far out of control. And this is just in my opinion. No, listen, when I say so far out of control, because remember, we're going to swell from the middle, and we're going to take from the rich to do it. And I was a little girl with Jimmy Carter. But right now, America is too vulnerable for us to be playing with the economy and with people's money right now. And President Obama, he is all about redistribution of wealth. He's told you that. That's where he's going to go. He's already told Russia that wait until my next term, I'll have more leverage to get some more things done. He's already said all of this, whether we want to believe it or not. And if our economy continues to raise and the debt continues to rise the way it's rising, we start redistributing wealth in the American public. We get into more social programs, and we actually go into full-blown Obamacare. All that will never be able to go back into the bottle again. And African-Americans, No, listen to what I'm saying, because if you look at what's going on with our military when it comes to their benefits, if we can't take care of those men and women right there, what makes you think that we're going to really be able to take care of all the people that are living in America today? That's the issue. And we can't afford to put another tax on America when we don't have the money. And you can't take from the rich and still make it, because the rich will take their money and go home. They'll find another place to go with their money. We need to be honest about that. That's real. See, rich folks don't have to stay in their community when they go broke. They, you know, when I lose my job, I have no choice but to stay right where I am and pray that they don't take my house. Rich folks, when you come to take what they have, they pack up and they leave. And we need to understand, if we start playing around like that, we're going to be in a serious situation that may take us over the cliff. 773, your mic is on. Where you been?
Well, oh, I see your ratings dropped after I left a couple of weeks.
No, that was me leaving, and they dropped after I left. The 269.
Well, it's not really going to too much make a difference with Obama or Romney. The people that control America have their two candidates. Jeff calls them progressives. You can call them different names if you want. Black people that get in a position of influence are not going to say anything if they have contracts with their Jewish masters. So they're not going to speak out against anything that's going to jeopardize them making any more money with Jewish networks. So if blacks don't create an economic base, then you can forget about it. The Latinos are doing it. They're taking the jobs for less pay. They're putting their resources together to buy the companies from white people, and they're hiring nothing but Latinos. So black people in America can forget it if they don't start thinking and doing those things again like they did in the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s.
Yeah, and I agree with the brother. And that has very little, as I've said this till I'm blue in the face, that particular approach right there, which is the best approach, which is the only approach, I think, at this point, that gets black folk out of their mess, that has very little to do with electoral politics.
But listen to what I'm saying. It doesn't. That's not true. That's not true. Because, and like I said earlier, we fail to realize that politics governs everything that we do in life, whether we like it or not. Am I wrong?
I think the two gentlemen are making a good point. I just think the only thing I see politics that probably will be able to change is that they can probably affect the regulations as far as the difficulty or ease it takes to get into a particular industry. But other than that,
you can only do that, Alabama.
Let me say this. Remember, it's the indoctrination of the educational system that's really, really giving us a black eye.
I got out of high school with a 1.9 GPA. I chased basketball and girls. I did okay. Everybody's talking about education. Everybody, I don't have kids, so maybe I'm a little different. But
you're different.
It's
different now.
I mean,
No. It's different now. See, it's different now. See, you could be as dumb as a rock and get a hustle going on. Our young boys are coming out with no hustle.
But that's family. That's
but again, again, but again, a family also. But that still has to do with social engineering. Has to do with politics.
No, Tim, you're mixing up a few things, and you're using the wrong tool to try to make a
See, listen here. If I demonize the black man where he can't get a job, and I take him away from the black family, for whatever cause, he's not raising the black children. and this woman has no respect for the black man.
But let me ask you this, though. How smart or intelligent do you have to be to realize that and then start saying, okay, I see what they're doing. Let me change. That's part of being a human being. That's what makes us smarter than apes.
I've been brainwashed.
I've been brainwashed. You can't just keep saying that eventually. I've been brainwashed. What 269 and the guy from Chicago offense, it's going to have to take an awakening mental. It doesn't have to be now. We don't get no religion, but I'm just saying, mentally, that person has to wake up and say, I can't keep doing it. I can't keep thinking I can have my pants around my butt. I'm going to be smart. I'm gonna put my pants up, cut my hair, talk for a minute.
I've never been taught. We got to understand something, guys. We have never, and I got to take a break, and I'll open up all the lines. I've never been taught any different. I was taught get yours and get got. I was never taught that. Anytime that I see men that are 40 years old busting a sag, how can I tell my son don't bust a sag when my daddy busts a sag? How can I tell him to read a book when we don't read books, we play video games together? How can I tell him that he can become a doctor, but the only thing I talk to him about is football? I'll be right back.
Okay. Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, this is 269. I think Dr. Claude Anderson said it. Now, this is my opinion, fellas. I do believe that blacks are now a permanent underclass in America. And I think the math, the numbers are there to almost prove that. Now,
laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates.
Room,
and when your business needs now.
Yeah.
Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador
Micro.
Technologies. Young.
Well, she's playing. She mixing it up with the DJ, ain't she?
I don't know what she got going. But now with the I think it was 773. This see what y'all what.
Somebody need to hang their phone up.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. With the,
I don't
with
know
the,
who's calling that is.
Yeah.
Are you guys calling for Tracy and friends?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you Alabama? Or
I'm
269?
Alabama.
You're Alabama. Okay, and then there would have been Chicago. He would have been 773.
Yeah.
And then 773. Is he still on there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. And then the 269 gentleman. Is he still on there?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah.
You're still
there.
Here. Okay. So I don't know. I don't know why there's a. It sounds like there's a dial tone. That someone didn't hang up their phone.
Yeah, but where we have to look at when you're trying to find out, looking toward the future and see what is about to happen. If you look at the state of black owned businesses, I mean across all industries, there's no particular industry that you can look to say that black entrepreneurship is on the rise. The only one that's showing a little bit of promise is this resurgence of black faith-based credit unions and things of that nature. That's really the only one. But as far as blacks in any particular industry, I don't know what industry you can look towards to see some promise.
Have any of you read the book Convicted in the Womb by Carl Upchurch?
No.
No? It tells a story from a black man's point of view of how he grew up in America and many of the things he felt. And I was shocked at the challenges, and I didn't even recognize it until I went to a first grade classroom of mixed racial children. There were Asian children there, black children, white children, you know, Hispanic children. And I could tell that the two white, the two black boys that were in the room were not getting as much individualized attention. And I've noticed it in the white society with white trash women, which I'm using a slang very quickly, that they take up with black men and then they drop them in. They don't allow the men in the home. And it's very disturbing to me that the now some of the white women who are not as educated or whatever are having biracial children and not treating the black men well either and not allowing them in the children's lives. And that's, I think, very disturbing too.
Yeah, that's the most powerful thing you can say as a father. A father is the most powerful thing as far as a family. When you start talking about a community and you drill it, a nation, you can drill it all the way down to that father being in that house with that child.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. My father was the rock of our family. And, you know, good or bad, indifferent, rich or poor, a father is the stone. He's the foundation. He's the foundation. It truly is.
Well, I was getting ready to say, the days of you seeing the best of the black community in America is done.
Oh, I think there are many.
Negative.
I think there are many, many black men who are who could do so many things. In the local high school that. My grandson goes to school there.
We're talking about collective. Now, I know about finding individuals who are doing good thing and then say, this is the model follower. I know about that theory. But we're talking about as a group. You got to remember.
Oh, as a group.
What,
I understand.
Yeah,
what
we say we want to see the black community look like, if you remember in history, everything that we want to say we want to see, we have thought already. A home with both parents in there. Black industries at their peak.
Hold on, 269. Hold on, 269. Let me ask you. Yeah. If slavery is what destroyed it, right? But then you go back and you trace those facts you just named about having a father in the home, testing, all the things we want to get to. We were there in the 50s before this war on poverty came in. And it's like we traded a check for a better family, for a better life, really, technically. I think that destroyed, that did more damage than anything.
I think public assistance did it.
I think that did
it. It did it for the white
destroy.
Families, too. But mostly the black. It was set, I think, and designed to destroy the black family because there was power there, and you could see the little industrious groups of people that were gathering and being able to do things and accomplish things, and children were going to schools and colleges. And then public assistance came in and crippled and just like undermined a great working class of people.
I mean, if you read the Willie Lynch letters, Willie Lynch talked about wrong for taking the biggest, strongest black guy on there, beating him to within an inch of his life, women taking the roles of men. That's exactly what's happened
in
our community.
Yes, absolutely.
But the gap between what we once saw and then that downfall about the public assistance, you got to remember, it wasn't until the industrial blacks and groups and societies were destroyed, then came the public assistance, because it's almost like there was nothing else there. I mean, what do you do when
wait, when were they destroyed? I'm from Alabama, a guy named A.G. Gaston. He did pretty good. These guys were doing pretty good. A.G. Gaston, you can look him up. I mean, they were industrial people that were, I don't see nobody equivalent to him today in our black community. This guy was around in the 50s and early 60s. I think that we were okay. I don't see no outright destruction then comes. We never did have, it wasn't too much to be destroyed. We were still kind of sloping upward at the time that this came in.
It is a conditional, we're back, but it's a conditional mindset. You got to understand what is really going on here. And I know you guys disagree with me. Some of you do. The number, again, the number is 347-945-5229. But you have to realize, and we have to comprehend, that every I'm talking to people right now from all across the globe, and all of our communities look exactly the same. You have to understand, we have to really come to realize that there's something wrong here, that all of our communities can look exactly the same where African Americans live. There is a stronghold on our community, and we are not paying attention to how it got that way and how we're playing into it and how our politics, you don't want to call it that, but that's what it is. Because remember, politics deals with your school district. It deals with your work. It deals with your economic development. It deals with, you know, your mindset. It deals with how you get into the system. See, if I'm on welfare, my politics govern how I can get on it. And how those how that community deals with me. And until we are honest about that, I mean, really think about this. How is it that Chicago, New York, Alabama, Michigan, all of us look alike? The statistics are all the same. That's crazy.
Tracy, this is where I think I don't know why we don't. Well, now I'm speaking for everybody now. When you have, this is what science is. When you have a patterns, when it's called pattern recognition, that's the first sign of consciousness in science. When there's a pattern recognition, we can recognize a pattern. That means there's a system that causes that.
That's correct.
Not rain out of the sky, not the wind blowing. That tells you there is a system.
Correct.
Now, if there is, in fact, a system socially engineered that way, the only way to best understand that is to go back and get all of the history. Don't leave any of it out and bring it all the way back up to this point, and that's how you can identify.
But you can identify it, sweetie. You can see it.
I know you can.
I agree with you. Don't get me wrong. You have to go back, but you can identify the problem with it, and it goes. You can see where the break came, and the reason why we can't get it done is because we have gatekeepers.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's the shallow answer. That's what I keep telling you. I'm saying this for you, Tracy, because at the end of that, if you're saying you know all of this history, but then your answer is, and we behold it to one party. And that's what it is.
Listen to what I'm saying, sweetie.
We got too many gatekeepers, and that's...
No, listen to what I'm saying. When I say one party, I'm talking about, see, if we came out of the system completely and started engaging in it as we should, we wouldn't see what we see right now. But because of the social engineering, you see it played out throughout the country. And the only thing that we have in common throughout the country is because the only thing is our politics.
But can I make a point though, Tracy?
Sure.
The Irish, white Irish, there was a time where white Irish were at the same point as blacks. We were on the same level, right?
Somewhat.
White Irish people. They had laws against them and certain things too. White Irish from Ireland when they were here. And then there was a time where, that's what I think he's saying. 269 is saying is where they were allowed to assimilate and do certain things, implement certain things, and the laws stopped. You know, the Jim Crow wasn't really against them. Jim Crow just got stopped for us.
It hadn't stopped yet.
It didn't appeal to them. Well, I ain't talking about I'm talking about the actual Jim Crow. It didn't appeal to them. And then when they started doing their things and trying to come out of their thing, we were still coming in spite of. Had we not had Jim Crow, we would have been even further.
But what I'm saying to you is,
if you're telling me I can't get along, you're telling me I can't do, dude, that did hold us back. You can't tell me that didn't stop us by economically.
No,
absolutely.
You're missing what I'm saying. Who in the world, right now, just really look at this. Look at what we've done and how we got here. Remember when we were thriving and we were in school and we were getting education and our black men were in our homes, what caused it to disintegrate? Who caused it to disintegrate, and who allowed it? Because didn't we not have people who were sitting at the table at that time that said, listen, you can't take the black man out of the home?
Well, it's going to be very hard to do that now. You guys have talked about in the past, the demographics are different now. It's more Latinos here in America, it's Asians, it's Indian, and other races of people. So it's going to be very hard to kind of do those kind of things now. Before it was mostly Caucasians and blacks and Native Americans in this country, but the demographics are different now. What the problem is that the 40 and under crowd are now organized. If you look at just in Youngstown, Ohio, and Cleveland, if all the blacks just said that we're not going to come out and vote for Barack Obama, Barack Obama would be in your state right now saying, I give every black person $100,000 just to come out and vote for me. Because
Absolutely.
He needs, like I said 4 months ago, he needs Ohio to get back into the White House and stay there. Ohio,
we got so much power.
I
hate to interrupt you like that, but we got so much power here in Youngstown, Ohio. You don't even mean Cleveland. We got so much power here in Youngstown, Ohio. We could set the president on his ear. He could do.
Can I add something? Like, and then this is something I believe is a theory. Most nations that we've given assistance to, they knew this because we've been given assistance as America back in the 1800s to different nations. If you go back and look at those nations before they started getting financial assistance and what they did after, it's just like our black community. It's just like it. A lot of nations that we uphold and hold up, a lot of these people would do better if we weren't giving them assistance. That's why I think it's engineered, because they knew this from other nations, that if you give a people a check, it'll change their whole way of thinking, and then it'll stagnate them. And I think that's what happened. I think that's part of it. I think they knew we get these people the same, it's going to do the same thing. And on the surface, it looks loving and caring, like we really care. But behind closed doors, is really sticking it to them. Because that's what happened. A lot of African nations right now, you got a lot of dictators and things over there in Africa right now that are being propped up because of this money coming in. These folks, if they were starving and these leaders wouldn't do what they were supposed to do, them folks would have been out of there. But because they're getting this money pumped in, They can talk like they're doing something for the people when they're really not.
Hey, hold on, guys. I got 831. Did you have anything to say? You've been on hold for a long time. I don't know if you know your mic is hot.
Yeah, I was talking during
the
break.
Oh, okay.
Hi. I wanted to let you know I was listening. When I'm not
thanks,
listening,
Bonnie.
And I don't call you, but I like that, and I did miss Chicago. I'm glad to hear he's back there. I mean, really, he's been one of my favorites to listen to. And anyway.
Don't tell him that because his head will blow up, and I haven't met him yet, and I don't want him to have his head that big.
Well, that will give him a good reason to drive all the way down and be at your station in person, right?
Hear that, Chicago?
That's a good reason.
He could drive all the way down here.
It's
he
only
could come down on the election day right after he votes. He could get down here. It'd give him take a day off from work.
I just wanted to make sure you
I
knew that your mic was on.
Yeah, but I think it's public assistance. I think it's destroyed families, the American family. And it's destroyed the American dream. And it's made a lot of wrong things right, and it's just not right. It just isn't. We are made to work. Human beings are made to work. That's how we feel good about ourselves. Our accomplishments, you know, men need to know what they are. You know, we've talked about this on the show before. Men need to know what they are. And that I feel sad for today's men. I do.
We feminize them too much.
You know, every commercial treats them like they're the biggest doofuses on the face of the earth. You know, they can't sell a car. They're on the silly commercials between football games. None of them are portrayed. All the women, you know, if it's an air freshener, you know, the women always are making them look like some kind of goofy, smelly article in the house. I just can't. I don't even like television, but they just make men look stupid. I mean,
hey guys,
they really
do. Hey, guys,
well,
do you agree
hung
with that?
Hung up.
I agree with that. They definitely feminize the man, and this is part of their gay agenda, because some of those people that own those networks are gay. So they're trying to push through their gay agenda, which is just It's just sickening.
That's going to be the downfall, I think, that and you know, I mean, well, you know, not to get religious, but if you look at God of Sodom and Gomorrah, nations like that, I mean, it's clear what's going to happen. I mean, you don't see that too much in Africa. You don't see, now, true enough, Africa has its own problems, but you really don't see that. And I think that is a cancer that, you know, and what really burns me up deeply is when they want to say, well, we're just like you black people. You know, you liberals came in, you helped or tried to help or sat there and waited until we took the dogs and the hoses. Well, not really. A few here and there. I ain't going to say not all of them, but a few did. But for the most part, we took the dogs, the hoses, the black church, and we did down the back campus, all of them did their thing, and now here you come, civil rights, just to get you, you know, I really take a real offense when I see that. I really do. It really bothers me because I can't hide being black. I really can't.
Well, about,
they hadn't been through what we've been through. And another thing, before you talk, Susan, one more thing.
Okay.
What can they not have that they're acting like? I mean, what are these rights that they're talking about? They can get anything I can get. What are they saying? I can't marry a man anything.
Who?
Homosexuals.
But, you know, one, when we say rights, no, they can't. I mean, you have to understand. I gotta take support of them in some areas. What happens is they choose to live their life, but when it comes to their benefits, when it comes to their insurance policies, when it comes to their end of life care, they can be living with their boyfriend or whomever, girlfriend or whoever they want to be with, and they take their family to court, and they can't. They'll make it to where they can't see their family members. Because even contracts, because they go to court and they have it overturned, or they're on life support and one wants to keep them because they're not recognized.
I mean, you know what though? Like, I mean, we could see a lot of this can be fixed with just what they call power.
That's correct.
I mean, you.
No. That's what they're saying. They engage the power of attorneys. They're not strong enough to make them not have to go into court, and they can't and not have them overturned because families go into family rights. So what we're saying,
what they need to have is tort reform.
For
that one issue, they're teaching kids that it's like we're throwing the baby out with the bag. Okay, so you can't. That one issue is the only valid argument I've ever heard. Other than that doesn't
there
mean
is
you
no
can
other.
Feminize our whole society. That's
but again,
no,
that's a whole.
Want,
hold on, guys. Hey, Bill, do that on Friday because that's a whole other conversation for another day. We'll go off somewhere else. Come back in. But we'll talk about that on Friday if you want to because that's an issue because the feminization of men is true. But that comes from another. That comes from an underlying issue. That's a lot of the issue of a lot of the contractual because you could overturn stuff when you get into hospital care and the HIPAA laws and who's going to take care of what and money. Can we all say money? Then your folks get all messed up. Hold on just a second. South Carolina, your mic is hot.
Hey everybody, how y'all doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm sorry I dropped off there for a second. Just when you're out here in the sticks, you don't know when you're going to lose. But anyway. listen, you know, when you got the type of situation that we have in the black community, there's no doubt in my mind, after observing and seeing some of the things that I've seen over the past 20 years, there's no doubt in my mind that there was a concerted effort on the part of liberals to do this to the black community, to indoctrinate us, and to make us dependent on a system. And it came down from those in academia. When I say those in academia, they used those college professors, those black college professors who we thought were, the best there was. They used ministers who essentially were Judases to us. And they use the government and the government system to basically, you know, emasculate our society. Just take away all the men and indoctrinate the rest of us. And if we can't see that, I mean, the model for this has been displayed in China. It's been displayed in the Soviet Union and how they did their stuff. And even there are even examples in the way Hitler did. You know, the Germany after World War One, or when he came to power. You know, I mean, this is pretty simple stuff now. you know, they're trying to make us into a socialist nation. And it's bit by bit, piece by piece, segment by segment. And if you want to see what the rest of the country is going to look like, all you have to do is take a good, solid look at the African-American community. You don't see this with the Hispanic, in the Hispanic community. You don't see this in the Asian community because they have not been indoctrinated. They were not done the way that that the African American was done. They were not sold out. They were not sold out by the liberal like the African American has. So this is the situation we've got, and those of us who can see and who can learn and who can speak, we need to talk to the rest of them. Because I am finding out, Tracy, that we got some ignorant, pardon my expression, we got some ignorant black folk out there that have no idea. They're just going on what somebody else has told them. Ignorant and lazy. And that's not a good combination.
I'm going to take a break on that one. You guys go ahead. That was a good word, South Carolina. I'll be right back.
Come on, save man.
Yeah.
You know, South Carolina, I studied that Germany thing with Hitler because I've mentioned this on the show. My great-grandparents were teenagers when they came to America from Germany, and that was actually practiced. And my grandfather would always say to us when we would want something. Now, there were a lot of us in our family, and my father came from a family of 13, and they raised 11. Two died as small babies, which was very common in that time. A lot of children passed away. But he would always say, if you want to destroy someone, give them everything they want. And that always stayed with me, that's what you do when you want to destroy a country or take a country over. Or even, you know, you have somebody that's not easy to work with at your job. You do that. And pretty soon they'll quit because they'll get so greedy and they'll get so caught up in it, in their own arrogance, they will be self-destructive.
I think that's what I wanted to see with Barack Obama is give him everything he asked for and let's see really how stupid this stuff is he's saying he's going to do because it just does, the numbers don't add up. So, okay, write out free checks to everybody and watch everybody start working. And wind out, and you run out of people to tax. So let's just see how far that gets you.
You know, I think he's going to come out. I think he's going to come out with a really good debate thing tonight. I really do.
Well,
I think he's going to come out
anyway. I mean, he's going to win because he's not going to suck as bad as he did last time. So of course they're going to
exactly.
Say he won.
He is. That's exactly right. I listen to the media.
Here's the thing, guys, that I'm looking at, and it's really, really sad to me. I actually, in the past week, I've sat down and listened to some of my contemporaries, and I listened to certain radio shows, and listened to what they're saying, as far as number one, the Republicans, and as far as anybody else that isn't Barack Obama or a Democrat, and some of the things that they're talking about, number one, they factually are 100% lie, okay.
Yes.
Yes. You cannot be. Yes, you can be that stupid. You can be that stupid. Because it's happened in history before where people were that stupid or too lazy to go out and check the facts. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Let me
at what point? Oh, go ahead.
Can I say something, South Carolina? This is the only. It's not really a contentious point because I believe that, you know, it is what it is at this point. But I guess the pushback when I hear like you and Alabama and Tracy, and you have to understand that this is coming from my worldview as a pan-Africanist, is only this. Most of what y'all say, it's almost like we're experts at the obvious. Most of what y'all say are actual facts. But when I look at y'all, And I see y'all as black, and then I say, well, maybe let me take a listen to a black Republican's point of view. But you don't really hear a black Republican's point of view. You just hear a Republican point of view. And when I hear that, it's not, there's nothing that can connect me to you. I already know the general Republican point of view. What's yours? What's yours
freedom.
For the black
one
community?
Word, freedom.
That's the,
one
I don't
word,
hear that
freedom.
From y'all.
Freedom. That's it. Get out my way.
Yeah, freedom.
Out my way. Don't tax me. Freedom.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's freedom.
It.
That's
word
exactly
freedom.
What I think.
Go, yeah. Hold on. Don't overtalk me. Now, let's say some Alabama. You know that the words like freedom and justice and equality, they are elusive until you nail it down to specific policies, specific procedures.
Okay.
Ideology. You see, so
okay.
Don't just, you know, come on, man. You know,
okay,
you
so
got to give me more than that.
You said you haven't heard my point of view. I can give it to you in a couple of more sentences. Remove
okay.
regulations, especially within these urban areas, where people can get and own their own business. Black people can start moving in that direction. That's it.
Well, why don't y'all?
Hold on.
Go ahead.
That's already there. That already exists. That already exists. What you're trying to say in a roundabout way is this. You're trying to say remove the regulations and remove the barriers, and essentially what you're saying is give me the money to let me start my own business.
No,
and that's
no,
not
I'm not
happen.
Saying that. No, I'm not saying that. What I was saying was remove it. If you're going to go look like right now, and this is disrespect, the guy Walt Williams, he said you used to go get a car and go drive a taxi in an amazing urban area where a lot of black people live. You can't do that anymore. Now you got to have $60,000, $70,000 to get the permit, to get the city. Go out and try to start selling liquor. You can watch how much money. Just in Alabama alone, you got to come off $3,000, $4,000 just to pay in taxes. And then the city, the state of Alabama, they will, if you do well, they'll come move in right across the street from you, and they'll start selling liquor too. If they getting it, the government is in the way of truth. If you get out of the way, and when I say get out of the way in freedom, I mean don't give money to these big corporations to cut me out. That's what I'm going to say. I mean, let's make it fair. Let's not let people, one group get money and the other group get money. I think that's the problem. Take that out and let people just come in and compete on a fair basis without all this regulation. There's a lot of government regulation that stop people from being able to do business.
It's a combination
Well, I think
of...
there's... Well, go ahead, Chicago.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
Well, I was thinking, isn't there five of us here talking right now? Like there's five of us? If each one of us put in $10,000 or, say, $5,000, could we work together well enough to fly something, you know, by the seat of our pants, basically, but come up with an idea, have enough ingenuity, give each other respect and enough and work hard, have enough work ethic to drive up a plan and make money and make a profitable business, and then go to our politicians or our local and say, you know, these regulations are killing our business. Right now would be a really great time for people to approach the Republican Party because of the vote needed. Also, like what Tracy said in Youngstown, you know, Barack Obama needs Ohio. You know, wouldn't it make the most sense to kind of do what Tracy's saying in a kind of, you know, in what you're saying, I think, Alabama, when you're saying that, you know, the regulations, because then you would have enough money and enough on paper to approach with them, talking a politician, local politicians, attend some town hall meetings, show up at some of the groups that are there and kind of say, no, this isn't going to work for us. You know, we're running, I mean, you know, say we're running a, I don't know, guys think of something, you know, I mean, something. But if we did that.
I'm in Alabama, Montgomery. Go ahead.
The only problem with that is, and this is from my point of view, looking at it
right.
and dealing with it in South Carolina, that has been tried. However, it always comes back to one thing. Well, they're not going to let us give us so big anyway, so we might as well go ahead and not try whatsoever. That's the kind of defeated attitude that I've heard.
Wait. South Carolina. It don't take but one Henry Ford to provide power. It don't take but one Bill Gates.
Right.
It don't take. Everybody don't have that mentality. It just might be one or two
right.
individuals that provide those jobs. In Alabama,
right.
I tried to start, for example, we got this stupid law in Montgomery, Alabama, where if you do a fruit stand, I was going to do something. Just a little small, I was going to buy a cart,
sell some smoothies for like a couple hours a day while I had my little night job, right? I had to go and beg this business. They wouldn't let me do it. I got to sit in a certain location. We're way out of this stupid law that didn't pass. Just little bitty stuff. That's what, in order to get started, to make a couple of extra dollars, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, go
because
down.
Because they want so
to
much, they get so...
What y'all saying?
No, we were just talking about business regulations. This is just a lot of stupid. You can't even open up a lemonade stand. You can open up a lemonade stand and make a few dollars as a kid. Try to open up a lemonade stand and make some real money. Watch them come in there and shut you down. I mean, it's just a lot of regulations.
Wait a minute. I got y'all. I got one for you. Let me tell you what I did. This is going to be a quick story. We have something called here called a flea market. At a flea market, you come and, you know, you sell your wares, you know, almost like a big yard sale, garage sale. So you pull all the stuff out of your garage, you throw it in the trunk of your car, and you go down to the flea market and you pull it all out, put it on the table, and act like you're in business. So I go in there and they tell me, well, you got to have a sales tax. You got to have a sales tax permit.
Vendor,
so I go down to the state. Well, I go down to the auditor's office, get a sales tax slip because I got to have a sales tax number so I can sell my garage sale stuff at the flea market. Because if they come around and check you and you don't have one, you can get in a lot of trouble.
That's why.
Hold up, guys. It rains. Now, I want you to know you're selling stuff out the trunk of your car at a flea market, and the rain makes no people. I open up the sales permit, go out there, sell absolutely nothing, put all the stuff back in my car, tell St. Vincent de Paul, come pick up this junk. Put it back in my car, tell him to come pick it up. Don't close out the sales tax number. I get a bill for $800 from the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Are you laughing at me, South Carolina? I think that's your laugh.
No, that's my laugh. But Tracy, I know that's the truth because in the state of South Carolina, they average out. They find out what kind of business you have to fill out on the paperwork. They'll average out an amount. If you don't close out that sales tax, that voucher, they'll charge you. You've got to come back and you've got to prove to them that you didn't sell that.
I know.
Because they will definitely bill you.
I know. So my question is, hello, do we understand that you got to tell people you got to close it out because they don't tell you that when you open it up? But you got to have it to go out and sell a bunch of junk out of your garage at a flea market in the rain where you don't make any money?
Well, that's part of the plan because that's why you need big-time campaign reform because the multi-billion-dollar corporations, they are afraid someone like you, Tracy, that may sell your junk for $5,000, and then the multi-billion-dollar corporation that sells something that's new in their store might be losing out customer because 3,000 of yous have sold the same thing that they're selling at their store. So big-time campaign reform from the multi-billion-dollar corporations that make sure they have the politicians in their back pocket so they make sure the laws stay in their favor.
Isn't that something?
Well, you know, Tracy, I have a friend that's in the Philippines, and that's exactly what Chicago just said. It really makes sense of what she does. You know, she could just open up a bar at the corner and sell sodas out of a Ziploc bag with a straw. No one comes around, no one bothers her, because she doesn't make a whole lot of money. She just makes enough money to take care of herself and, a couple, friends and family. But I'm sure what Chicago just said, now it makes sense, because you know there are people living in the Philippines on $10,000 like kings. I mean, you don't need a lot of money there to live very, like a king. You really don't.
And you're exactly right, Bonnie, and what the multi-billion-dollar corporations are thinking. Well, if Tracy gets $10,000 and let's say $3,000 more gets $10,000, that's $10,000 out of our pocket. That could be multi-millions of dollars out of our corporation where we have to make sure our politicians and state laws.
Did y'all hear me say flea market?
But it doesn't matter. I think here's the thing that I'm gonna disagree with y'all. I don't think it's a multi-million-dollar corporation. I don't think that's I think it has more to do with the individuals that want, that don't want to see you succeed, to be self sufficient, because they want you dependent on the government.
Let me give you a good example. I'm in Alabama. I tried to sell some purses. I got an Atlanta flea market up the street. Go buy them from the Africans. I can't even sell these purses, but I can sell them like by phone or by. But I can't just stand on the side of the sidewalk, catch people walking in a busy area, and sell these purses and probably make thousands of dollars a week doing it part time. But you can't do it because of these stupid. Well, no, not just that. I'm talking about legit purses. They still won't let you do it. I can buy purses for $7-$8 in Atlanta and go sell them for 25, 30. Can't get it though. Can't do it because.
Hey guys, can I ask you guys? I need to ask you. I'm talking to Jeff in the studio while you guys are talking, and I got to throw this into the mix a little bit. John Glenn, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he die earlier this year? The astronaut.
Neil Armstrong. Neil Armstrong.
Yeah. It was Armstrong. Okay.
John Glenn is still alive.
Yeah, John Glenn is the he's the astronaut. He was also the senator. No, Senator Glenn is still alive, from what I understand. Neil Armstrong guy.
Okay, thanks.
He don't look like he's still alive.
Okay, that's all right. I just needed to know. Go ahead back to your conversation.
Well, let me say it's 269. Anybody at this point who knows American history well knows that markets and capitalism runs this country. That's just a matter of fact. And it is Chicago is absolutely right. No billionaire or nobody who runs a market wants to open the market up for competition.
But
people
who run markets want to close markets. Did you miss the point?
We was past the flea market conversation.
Okay. But still the same thing. Selling is selling. Regulation is regulation. And you know, whether it be lemonade, whether it be whatever it is, it's supposed to be competitive in America, if I'm not mistaken.
But what you got? What you got?
You have your daughter lemonade. You got to go downtown.
Tracy. Yeah. It was not the corporation that taxes Tracy or calls her. In South Carolina, you have to put $50 to get that tax ID number, okay? All right? It was not the corporation. It was the state that caused
South Carolina,
her to
South
pay
Carolina.
That tax ID.
South Carolina.
But that's
yeah.
the trickle-down
you know,
effect.
South Carolina, if you know the history of government South Carolina, that is where the government starts at. It starts with organized interest.
But remember, the organized interest is not supposed to go up against the organization of the people.
Yes, it do. Let me give you an example. Can I give you an example? When there used to be a law where it was against the law for blacks to have fishing poles. Now, who made that law? Those who didn't want blacks to fish to eat. That's still an interest.
Can I ask you, wait a minute, hold on. I need for you to clarify the fishing pole, because I didn't know that.
Go get clawed at, not just fishing poles. It was against the law to have a shovel, farm equipment, and every law, go get Claude Anderson's book, Black Labor, White Wealth. He got
Oh, you're talking about under Jim Crow? No, you're talking about Jim Crow, man. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah, under Jim Crow and black codes,
Wait a minute. But this is what you all are missing. Interest groups, in other words, y'all seem to think that this concept called government is rained down from heaven. The concept of government comes from organized interest.
Well, hold on, 269, I ain't even going to get you. I would even go as far as to say that when you started with these private banks. Hello?
Tracy, I have a question. If you sell a snowblower that's used and it works and Home Depot is selling that same snowblower for $500 and you want to sell it to me for $200, where do you think I'm going to go and buy that? I'm going to buy it from you, right?
If you're smart.
Do you think Home Depot will like that?
No, Home Depot may not like that, but again, we call free enterprise. We have to understand it's called free enterprise. America is a free enterprise system, if I'm not mistaken, unless something changed recently.
Now, let's say Home Depot donates some money to a politician to run for office.
The lobbyist group, right. That's what a lobbyist group is for, is to control markets. That's what they create.
But do you realize that you are a part of a lobbyist group also?
What a lobbyist group am I a part of?
Don't know what your lifestyle is, but I'm quite sure you're a part of some lobbying group, whether you know it or not, if it ain't nothing but AARP. Because if you don't realize that AARP is a lobbying group, you're sadly mistaken. That's why they send you a card in the mail.
I'm not saying that the only interest is money, but there are lobbyist groups that have other interests that are not necessarily start with money. But what we're talking about when we're talking about markets and this economics, what we're talking about, that's exactly what those lobbyists are there for.
But
they,
the question is,
they don't create lobby groups.
You are more
the
important.
The beef industry don't create lobbyist groups so they can make starting cattle, farm cattle, easy.
You don't listen for love nor money. You are more important than they are to the electorate if you knew the power that you have.
That's where the immature politics. No, that is the most immature political statement. You keep saying that. That's because you don't know the history of American politics. That's not.
Man.
269.
Hold on. Who is that?
This is South Carolina.
Yeah.
Don't know the American history. American history of political systems. Listen, if you keep approaching this and keep making comments about pan-Africanism and the European style of government, and that's what we're going to do here in America, dude, you might as well pack your pan-African bags and move to Africa. Because, dude, everybody is trying to be like America nowadays. America. They want a capitalist system.
I do have real estate in Africa.
Your real estate in Africa ain't got nothing to do with you.
He was trying to be funny, but he ain't funny about that.
What I'm talking about is
with the blinders that you have, is thinking that this is anybody's. It belongs to anybody's.
It does.
That's the blinder that you.
Huh?
It belongs to me. When I can go to a voting vote and put someone to office that I choose, then it's mine.
That don't mean
you. Guys, hold on. Whoa. Stop. I got to pick up. Hold on. 269, hold on. 518, hold on. 692, your mic is on.
692, is that me?
Yes.
I've been listening. I listen to you guys for when I'm flipping around. I mean, I finally found your number online and I got the call in. I'm glad I'm on. I mean, I can't believe some of the things that you guys are so off base on. This feminization of American males and how this homosexual agenda to make everyone. I'm just trying to clarify. Are you saying that the gays are trying to make everyone gay in America by putting Will and Grace on TV?
No, that's not what we said. No, you missed
okay.
it.
I'm just trying to understand, like, how is the American male, how is this American society being feminized when we have more women in bikinis on television, we have beer commercials? Yes, these guys are made to look fat and stupid, but does that make me feel fat and stupid? I don't understand how the media controls the people and their actions every day. When someone goes to eat a cheeseburger at McDonald's and wants to get fat, is that because the media tells them that they're fat and stupid? I'm unclear also. Like, do you think that being gay is a choice or is it natural?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
One at a time. Hold up.
Go ahead, Jeff.
It doesn't matter whether we feel it's a choice or whatever. If you don't believe the Bible, then you don't believe what the Bible is going to say about it. So that doesn't matter. The point is that they're getting special treatment out of something that is absolutely ridiculous, and that is two of the same things trying to reproduce or getting together and calling themselves in quote unquote, a biblical term called marriage. Okay, that is the problem. The feminization of America is the feminization.
Okay.
You know that metrosexual look, and
yeah.
And that and the goth and all the
yeah.
other things where
and the scarves
you can't
and
tell,
the scarves
you can't
that
tell
they
the
wear.
Difference between wait a minute, you can't tell the difference between a man or a woman. That is the feminization of America. We're turning into a matriarchal society instead of patriarchal. And the women are running everything, and they have the right to their body, although that baby that they're going to kill is not their own body. But they're still their own. It's their choice because it's their body. Why don't you don't screw first and get that baby in there, therefore you don't have to kill it or protect yourself ahead of time at your own expense, by the way. Okay, that is the feminization of America. And
okay,
that's
quick question. Okay, I respect that, but quick question. So, but what the problem is this is America. We have freedom to pursue our own personal happinesses any way that we see fit. And when you say the Bible, the problem is, okay, marriage in the Bible, is that where women are treated like livestock and traded from husband to father? And that's traditional marriage in the Bible. Is
okay,
that what you're
again,
talking about?
Once again, okay, once again, my friend. Okay, now, there's no doubt about it, in Middle Eastern custom, that is what happens because of the ignorance.
Oh,
and,
no, traditional
and
biblical
and
marriage.
Wait a minute.
Traditional biblical marriage.
You want the question
okay.
answered? I'm going to answer it. That's the
this
traditional Middle
argument.
Eastern culture.
It is, man.
But
this
I would
is,
say, but I would
go,
say
go,
this
man.
To you, my friend. Michigan
I,
man,
too many
please
people
hold
talk.
Up.
Okay.
Michigan
I
man, please hold ahead. Up. Okay, when you start talking about this whole feminization tip, yeah, we are talking about that Bible that had man fall from a very high place of knowledge and purity
and power,
to a very low place of no knowledge and sexual and spiritual death. There's a big difference, and that's how we were able to come back again. But if you take a look at these laws once again, what's going to stop the NAMBLA people from seeking out their rights in America? You have to have some kind of societal standard, and a man screwing another man or a woman screwing another woman is not a good thing for your societal standard. Because for one thing, if it's not against anything else, if you don't believe any Bible or anything else, it's against nature. Nature says, "Oh no, that is not how you're made, or how you, if you believe this."
Nature in nature, 10% of all species are homosexual. 10% of all birds, giraffes,
oh,
and 10% of all species are homosexual.
Hold on. So you're trying to tell me that man is equated to an animal now?
Oh, yeah.
No, he's saying nature. He's saying it's unnatural. He equated man to nature.
Let me throw this into the mix. It's unnatural because it does not produce anything except lust. It is
yes,
it
but
is.
It produces. Okay, exactly. I will agree with you that it's unnatural in the sense of. But you're now equating sex with only reproduction. So is that
and
what
sex,
you believe that sex is
I'm
only
saying,
for reproduction?
Hold on. But sex will produce an egg and a sperm will produce something. You cannot have two eggs and two sperms and think they're going to produce anything. And anything that does not reproduce after its own kind, it's unproductive. Anything
whoa,
that
whoa, whoa, but it happens. It happens
oh.
with birds and other animals.
No. It does not happen.
10% of all species of animals are homosexual.
Why does
a male dog hump another male dog? It's hormonal.
It's what you call lust. It's sex. And for them to, hold on. And for them to equate.
Okay.
Homosexuality to the nature of man, it is not natural. Now you can hump like rabbits, and it's okay what people do, and that's so their business because we understand that people go after whatever they choose to do, and they have the right to. The problem is I don't have the right. I should have the right to not affirm what people want to do. I ought to be able to say I do not agree.
That's fair, but what you're trying to do is legislate your morality on another group of people.
Wait a minute. But you're legislating immorality onto me.
You don't have to be gay. Don't hump other guys. We're not saying you have to be gay. We're saying that it's all right to choose your own path to happiness in America.
Then choose your path to screw whoever you want, okay, but don't do it to a child, okay? And
fair
don't
enough.
Be trying to bring it out.
Well, there's a misconception. All gays are pedophiles.
That's
so all gays are pedophiles.
The main asinine, insane thing that you could come up with. That's why we're going to hell in a handbasket, because we have these people to believe this foolishness. No, it's because
you want to limit people's freedoms. If you don't like Will and Grace, don't watch Will and Grace.
Hold on, go ahead.
If you don't want to wear a scarf, don't wear a scarf.
Hold on. Listen, it's a whole other issue. Go ahead, Alabama. Alabama, was that South Carolina? Which one was that?
Is that Stanley?
518, is that you? Somebody wanted to say something. Who was it? But 692, I do understand.
Yep.
You know, okay. if people choose, they live like they choose.
Yes.
The problem is you can't, when you live like you choose and then you tell my child that choice is okay, it now becomes a part of my problem.
Because you disagree with that lifestyle. Okay,
that's correct.
Fair enough. But do you disagree with kids, the glamorization? I listen to your show a lot. You disagree with the glamorization of, like, let's call it ghetto culture in movies,
and how
blacks are portrayed in the media.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. But do you want to outlaw the movies to portray ghetto culture?
Yes.
Well, that's like Taliban. You guys are like American. You can't legislate your morality on other people. That's artistic for expression.
Okay, hold on. But your expression now causes my child. And see, the problem is, when I say, hold on. The legislation, when I say this, I want you to understand, I have a problem when people curse on television.
Okay.
You know, I just think it's not.
I know.
But see, you know, on my show, I don't have a delay, so I ask people not to say the F-U words and not to say
that's
the F words.
That's fair.
Okay? Because I can get thrown off before saying stuff like that. You know that, right?
Fair enough. Uh-huh.
Okay. I have a problem with the N-word. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't tell anyone, and I think homosexuals ought to have their rights under the law. And when I say that, I understand having civil unions. I understand that if you want to
agree, 100% agree.
If you want to do that and that's how you want to live, that's your business and that's your life.
Okay, then what's the problem?
But hold on. But civil unions are not marriage.
Oh, you just want the word. You don't want them to have what you have.
No, I don't. Hold on. I don't, because marriage affirms your union. Civil union tells me you're protected under the law. There's a difference. One's contractual, but marriage, according to the Judeo-Christian as well as the Islamic,
which is not the problem of the government. The government cannot legislate Judeo-Christian and favor one.
It can't favor
one religion over another.
This is not about favoring a religion over another. It's talking about a term.
Again, semantics. You're arguing over a definition of a word.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. Absolutely. Because you got the term from a Judeo-Christian background. If you didn't steal the term and put it into your law language, then you wouldn't have the problem.
Okay, so you're okay with gays being allowed to be civil unionized or whatever you want to call it, just as long as they don't call it marriage. As long as they don't call it marriage.
We live in a secular society. We cannot make gays do anything, and nor do we want to. We try to tell people all the time. But listen to one thing. I have a brother dead to this day because of the street violence and the street culture that is glorified in those movies. I'm a recording engineer, and many of the guys that used to come to my studio, I lost 12 of them to the street because of the stuff that they were doing. I stopped making those records and allowing my equipment to be used to make those records because it's killing my people.
When I said that it should, when I said about rap music and hip hop, it shouldn't be legislated. I don't believe that, and I got to clarify that because I don't.
Okay. That, I don't know that kind of pain. I will admit, I do not know the kind of pain of losing a loved one to street violence. I don't know that. But I try to understand. And my question, though, is it's a similar analogy to what's going on in the Middle East over that Muslim movie that's on YouTube that's very bad.
I think that Muslim movie was distasteful, but I don't want to be able to stop Americans from doing what they choose. And
I get into arguments, discussions with Muslims who say that it causes violence. That movie causes violence, and therefore it should be banned from doing
it.
Listen,
I don't believe in banning freedom of speech, even though it's distasteful. As a matter of fact, I have a problem with the Ku Klux Klan, but if they want to march across the street, I want them to do that.
They're idiots.
It's not the point. It's not the point, because, see, I understand that I live in America, and I like a free society. I do.
Okay.
And if I start, hold on. And if I start legislating society, then I start losing. Does that make sense? Because
I think we go down a path.
Hold on. Right. So whatever's good for the goose is good for the gander. I understand that. But when we talked about feminization of the male society, you have to understand that the society at large is emasculating men. And when I say that, I'm not saying that in a term to be negative towards men and or homosexual.
Okay.
But we need to understand men should not be persuaded on television, just like African Americans should not be persuaded as a certain genre of people that they are not. Men should be portrayed as men. Now, if they're gay men and they want to be fairies, that's their business. But when I say men are more than beer drinking buffoons. And if you look at television today, you will not find a strong father that is on television that is not a buffoon.
That's right.
That is not an idiot.
And you'll not see an image of a black man that isn't in handcuffs or in
are you
I agree with
are
you.
In the conference. No, you didn't.
Are you following what I'm saying? That's
I
what
agree,
I'm saying.
But you can't change this through the law. You have to change this through social. You have to teach us at home.
I didn't say it should not be a law. We didn't talk about the law that way. But we need to understand that the laws govern society. And when you take a man, see, I think you missed a part of the conversation. When you took the man out of the home based on social programs like welfare. Because remember, during the 60s and 70s, if there was a man in the home, a woman would lose her benefits. So what she would do is she would have a child, but the man had to disappear.
So you're saying it's social engineering in a sense.
Absolutely.
That's what has the inner cities looking like they do.
So what happens is you took a man out of the home, and if you took a man out of the home, then that child no longer had a father. So how can a man actually instill anything into his child if he's not allowed to be around them? But if you go all the way back, and I want
wait
you
a minute,
to
not allowed to be around them. What are you saying? You're saying that he's choosing to be away from them so he can get government assistance.
Yes.
That's still an individual choice.
Hold on, but go. No, you got to go back some years. You got to go back to the 60s. Because see, now they're trying to put the father back in the life. But remember, he was raised without a father around. So how do you know how to be a father if you've never seen one?
I agree with that, but it's tough.
So,
you can't say, it's society's fault.
No, listen to what I'm saying.
It's not a lady's fault.
It's not a lady's fault. Remember, birth control was a new thing up to 35, 40 years ago. So there was a whole lot of birth control going around. And it's not like folks are going to say accident. You got to understand that. That's real.
I agree with that.
So folks are going to screw around, and that's what was happening. They were having children.
But that's education. That's education.
No.
That's education.
There was no education because, remember, we weren't supposed to be equal.
Sorry.
And so
are you for abstinence only programs?
Well, I wish I could, but I'm not. It doesn't work that way because I can't force my beliefs on everyone else. I'm just saying, I believe in abstinence, but if you're not going to be abstinent, you need to do something about it. But what happens is
the states that advocate abstinence are the highest teen pregnancy rates in the country.
What I'm saying. You're going somewhere else. Don't go that far. Come back again another day and we'll do the abstinence thing because I don't want to make the show just that muddy. But what I'm saying whoever's in the background, hold up, let me get my thought out, and then I'll open the lines up again. We need to understand that the problems that you see inside the inner cities of America today is based upon social engineering that came out of welfare.
Totally.
And we need to take hold of that. And what we're saying is if you show the imagery that you see inside of our televisions today, it's the same imagery that you saw before. White people are afraid of black people because of what they saw on television.
True.
And it's not true. That's not who I am. So President Barack Obama becomes president because they think he's some kind, something new when he's the average African-American male.
If you think about something like this, and I'll leave it alone after this as well. In 1964, they passed the civil rights legislation. JFK, before he was killed, said it's the right thing to do. LBJ carried it forward. In 1957, JFK and LBJ shot down the same exact legislation that was created up under Eisenhower. Why do you think they did that? Okay, they co-opted that movement so that they had peace in America because they were expanding a war that they did not know what to do with. And so they thought that it would bring peace at home and so they could deal with this war. And they co-opted the movement, and they co-opted a voting class of people because they put us in the Great Society programs, the poor black people, because there was many black professionals in those days, many black business owners in those days. But guess what? They were all destroyed with the stroke of a pen when Johnson said, we'll have those niggas voting for us for the next 200 years.
And so when we talk about feminization, we're not talking about necessarily gay people becoming gay. That's not what we're saying.
Okay.
But when I say that I don't agree with the homosexual lifestyle, even though I love them anyhow, and I want people to treat them right, I say that openly too. I love you, and I've got friends, and they understand that Tracy don't be Tracy, and she don't agree with what I do, but she treats me right, she treats me fair, and she wants me to be treated fair. So I gotta understand that.
That's perfectly fine. But that to me is. You know, that's America. You're not going to change these people. They're going to do what they want.
But what I'm saying is what they're doing is they're reconditioning America to look like something that it should not look like. Hold on just a second. I think there was 269 that wanted to say something.
Yeah, first thing I'm going to say this, Tracy. You are one of the most racist radio talk show hosts. Let me tell you why. you don't let one caller... You don't let one call it sound like he's white.
Guess
you
what?
You took up 20 minutes with him, and
guess
you
what?
You would never spend 20 minutes going back and forth with me.
You know why?
That's the one thing I want
to
say.
Jeez, old man.
You I'm the only white caller that calls in. No white caller
ever
calls in.
No white caller to call in. We got quite a few. But the thing is you're new.
Hold on. You're new. And
you're
you
new.
Call back every day. You get treated like everybody.
Right.
So you only get to be a guest one day.
That's it.
Okay. I've been listening a long time. But today, for some reason, I just thought you guys get. I know you have a religious bent to the show, always from what I've listened to, but that's fine. But I just thought today you were kind of. I had to get clarification on what you're advocating for and what that change will bring around. You know, I think education is the key to all of these things that we're discussing. And not laws, not more laws.
You're right, new caller. But that's the whole thing. We don't want because of how you like to screw that you get special attention in America.
Jeff, have you not heard a politically correct way to say screw?
No, I didn't.
First of all, I don't. Maybe we got. I'm not gay. Okay, I'm not gay at all.
That's okay.
I had an interview yesterday, and somebody asked me the same question, and I'm trying to tell you guys, I'm not splitting hairs. I just think that there's a better way to cut this cow, even though I don't agree with the cow that you cut.
Well, I've heard the argument before that the feminization of the man, and if you look at the sitcoms in America, it's always the fat white male, and the wife is the boss, and she runs the show, and he's a big child. He's portrayed as a big, stupid child, okay? And like that other caller that you had.
So is there not a problem with that? Hold on, South Carolina. Is that not a problem with that?
Well, I don't care if it's funny and it's meant to be funny. I'm not a big fat male that likes to drink beer and watch.
Everybody, listen, you got to understand, it's not just one big fat male. It's every fat male, every man. Anything that
no, that Ray Romano show, Jerry Seinfeld was Jewish. You know, you have all these times. Well, okay, what about, I don't know how this is going to sound, but, you know, I would say the stereotypical black-oriented sitcom most popular ever would be what, The Cosby Show?
That's correct. And you ain't seen another man like that on since him, have you?
No, but here's the problem. Okay, so then you get shows like let's say the Madea franchise. Okay,
have you ever noticed that a black man can't make it unless he puts on a dress?
I've heard that theory from Dave Chappelle as well. Okay, and that's
okay.
Interesting. Okay, and that's an interesting theory. But what I'm saying is,
what's
if people
that?
Watch it, if people would not watch it, it would go away. It would choose
again,
with your channel
again.
Clicker.
I know. I'm a channel clicker. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Listen. You know, here's the thing. This did not become an issue until it started affecting the white community. Okay? What I'm saying is when feminization actually started affecting the white community, you heard an uproar. As long as black people were the only subgroup that was being affected by the policies that were set forth under the war on poverty, it was
okay.
All fine. But all of a sudden, when all of a sudden those policies started affecting the white community, that's when the tide turned. You see 40 years of what these policies can do to a community or to a set of people. Now it's not good enough anymore. Everybody wants to jump on this bandwagon and say, hey, we can't allow this to happen. Okay? This is the result. This is the result.
South, one thing, though, we have to understand, too, though, is at one time we had societal standards. And we have thrown those out the window. And without societal standards, without a moralistic standard in this country with capitalism, you will not have a country. You will have
You keep saying we have societal standards that you want to go back to like biblical stuff from the 50s when the Bible was used as defense to segregate blacks from whites in the 50s, okay?
They have no scripture to prove that. First of all, and if,
but you can't base it.
Exists.
So how are you going to
stop?
Okay.
There's none that exists. The light being shown on things stops all foolishness. Yes, they used the Bible to enslave people at one time, but as people started reading the Bible and finding out the truth about it, it set them free instead of that. If justice shall roll down like a mighty river. Don't forget about that scripture. Let's not forget about all men should be free, okay? And if you sell yourself into slavery, it's only for a period of time, so you pay off your debt, and you're treated like somebody that's good, not like the slavery that we had in the United States. It's a totally different slavery.
And we don't
understand,
what we don't understand is the slavery of America is not the slavery
of the
servitude.
Bible. No.
You have to understand, we were dehumanized.
Right. Cut from our culture.
We were insured like your property. We were not people. We were straight
I agree.
Up. We were.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I gotta go.
You're
all
welcome.
Right, thank you.
And when you look at how it destroyed the mindset of a people. Because Jim Crow did more dangerous things than
slavery did.
This is why I think you guys as
you call me racist.
Public.
I ain't talking to you.
Yeah, you is too. I'm gonna write your producer.
You got jokes. I mean, you know, if you gonna write my producer,
give me
to that one caller. Gonna take up a half an hour. Just hug him back.
Whoa,
and
whoa,
back
the producer's name is Tracy Wentworth.
Would you like to know the engineer's name?
Kenny Wentworth.
You want to know?
Well,
who's
the station?
Hey, Wentworth. Hold up. No. Hold on. You gonna call my boss?
Yeah, who's the boss?
I'm the boss. You,
who
this
on
is
the
it.
Station?
But you can call my boss and tell him.
Who on the station? Who on the station?
Tracy.
Well then I'm calling the FCC. I'm getting the government involved. I'm gonna get the government involved. I'm gonna tell the government on you.
Hey man, you close enough. You need to come down here and sit in one day.
Hey,
you hear me?
I'm in Michigan. Where y'all at?
Yeah, that's about 4 hours.
What part of Michigan are you in? How far are you from Detroit?
About 2 hours.
Oh, no, he's too far. No, too far.
He's by Ypsilanti now.
No, he's in the middle.
No, he just
he's
said.
A, you're not by Ypsilanti.
In between Detroit and Chicago.
Ypsilanti's only 40 minutes from Detroit.
Yeah.
He's by Lansing.
Oh, you're way up in the...
I heard South Carolina said, talking about the welfare state, and then you got the Jim Crow. But see, appears that you when you connect the dots, it all is a part of, you know,
you don't separate any of them, right? So you don't run to, oh, when they took the father out of the house, or just see when you have that Republican bent, you look for, so we said, the liberal. So you run to, oh, when they took the father out of the house, that's why the black community like it is now. That ain't just it. It's all of it. That's the point.
Well, I
want to say. Hold on, guys. I got a call coming in. I got to pick it up. 599, your mic is on.
Hello, how you guys doing today?
We're good. How are you?
Just fine. I've been listening to you, and it's the same old, same old. But what I wanted to talk about was your boy, Ryan, what he did Saturday. What do you think about that?
He got busted.
Yeah, didn't he? I just love it. That's
why?
What they do.
Do you actually think Obama don't do the same thing?
Just like Ryan made those people at the coal mines, you know, stand out
that's
there when
true.
They
didn't.
Right.
That's not a true statement.
Now look, you got one. Ryan. Ryan got cold busted Saturday.
How did he get busted?
Yeah. Well, because the people from the St. Vincent de Paul
because we don't know. We have no idea what nobody knows about.
St. Vincent de Paul Society is a soup kitchen downtown that gets a whole lot of conservative money to operate. And I hope that those conservatives just hold their money for about a week or two. Although the people wouldn't get served, I don't want those people to suffer. But just hold that money for a week or two for what they did. They knew that they were doing a photo op, so they came in and they let him wash some dishes that they had already washed. And he was trying to help out a little bit at the soup kitchen, which he was there to do.
Yeah.
But there just was nothing to do.
Well, he washed some dirty dishes.
So they staged it.
He got too late. So she got to wait.
Can I say this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why I got to wait?
Go ahead, Chicago.
This is why black folks are going to continue to be in the state that they're in. We call black people that are Republicans racist. We call Democrats, they love black people, black Democrats. Can they just be just black people? You know, I don't hear Asians.
I love black people, period.
Wait a minute.
Libra,
you got to listen, baby.
Do I hear Asians calling another Asian that's in the political party Asian Democrat or Asian Republican? Do I hear any Latinos calling Latino Republican or Latino Democrat? They're not caring what party you in. They all care and make sure.
Did I call you?
Gender.
I did not call you a racist.
Once again, do you think that their culture, their ethnic culture, they care about what party they in? They are caring about what policies and how much money and what are they going to get out the deal as a group of ethnic people.
Exactly.
Bingo.
Exactly.
Bingo.
I didn't call you a racist.
What I've been telling Tracy.
We ain't talking about you.
But y'all supporting somebody who said they don't care about the poor, but yet and still he's going to go down there and use the poor.
Nobody said that at all. Nobody said
for a phone.
Oh, girl, he just listen. That was not said whatsoever.
And Ryan didn't say he didn't care about the porn.
No,
that's
not what he said.
And
neither did Rob.
Oh, come on, I heard him say that myself.
No, you heard.
Hold on. She was there.
Yeah.
She was there. You heard him say it. You heard the whole thing.
I just
want
to know why you give me that $50,000 instead of spending it on Rob.
It was on the news.
Listen, everything on the news is not 100% true.
It's not true.
Says 92%.
Oh, so you're saying that they're putting 90. Words in his mouth? They got him on TV and
it was a soundbite. Go ahead.
Says 92% of blacks in America are going to vote for Barack Obama. What are they going to get in the next 4 years that's going to help them out of their condition that they're in?
Let me tell you what they're going to get. They're going to get
nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Hey. But here's the flip side to that. If 97% of them vote Republican, they're going to get absolutely nothing.
Oh, no.
So y'all
no, here's
laughing.
The thing. We're
going to get less than nothing.
No, that's not true, because guess what? The Republicans,
you ain't going to vote for them,
so they don't think about you. But if you did vote for them one time, just like George Bush did a lot of good stuff for black people, because he got 20% of the black vote one time. So he absolutely delivered. He gave all that money to the traditional black colleges. He did the faith-based initiative, getting money down to the poor neighborhoods where they need it, instead of only 20 or 30 cents on the dollar getting down to it through welfare. Oh, no. So don't say that same thing, because they're not the same
What's
people.
What's wrong with helping everybody?
Your president ain't helping everybody. Because he's the president for everybody else. He ain't the president for you.
What's wrong with just helping American people?
They don't do
that
anymore.
What's wrong with that?
You tell me and we'll both know.
I wish they would, but they don't do that no more. They don't help people.
When did they ever do it?
You know, Latinos got the Dream Act before the election even happened.
Yep.
You know, they're getting things before people even get elected.
I wonder why.
Organized because they're organized. Black people are not organized anymore to get as a group.
They are organized. That's not true. They're organized. You know that, right?
They're very
organized.
Where are they organized?
NAACP?
Urban League. I'm quite sure that every Urban League across the country has had their dinner within the last 35, 45 days. They're organized, and they're organized to keep y'all in line.
Yep. Don't get off this plantation. What you mean? You ain't voting for us?
They're organized, and they're organized to keep you in where you are. They're very organized, and they do a very, very good job.
Who funds those organizations?
We're not quite sure yet. They're the ghost people and the shadow people, but they out there.
Probably the government, because real people are not going to give to stuff like that.
But you have to realize they are definitely organized, and they're organized to keep you in line. Because that's why everybody in the state of Ohio right now that's African-American is running around here talking about voter suppression. And voter suppression in the state of Ohio is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life. When you mail out ballots to every registered voter in the state of Ohio, no matter who you are, and all you have to do is bring something to the polls when you go, if you want to go on that day, bring something to the polls that shows who you are, and it could be a utility bill with your address on it.
And
you got 20 days to walk up and vote, but because you don't get the last 3 days to vote on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday right before election to vote so that they can reconcile their voter files, you call it voter suppression. You can tell them, I can promise you, that is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life. And we need to understand they got us organized.
Yeah, they got it.
One of the things that I do see is there has been, from my understanding, none of the voter ID opponents have won their cases against the voter ID bills. The only thing that the courts have said is that it's too late to implement them now. During the next election cycle, they will be implemented. You got to show your ID. So it's not a matter of
South Carolina. We've been doing this for the last two elections. What I'm saying is they're talking about voter suppression in Ohio, and there's no way that in Ohio. And there's no way you can call voter suppression in Ohio because we've been voting since the beginning of October. Hello? So listen, I'm gone. I'll see you guys tomorrow. The number is 347-945-5229. Tonight, there's going to be a debate at 9 o'clock. You want to watch it. We'll come back and talk about it tomorrow. Condoleezza Rice and Paul Ryan's going to be over in Brea.
Is it Brea?
It's Brea right outside of Cleveland. And also, if you want to, you can go. Tonight, McGuffey Center. You need to actually go out there if you live in the Youngstown area. They're going to talk about the future of the McGuffey Center, which is Associated Neighborhood Center. You need to go out there and talk about it. God bless you, and we'll see you on tomorrow.
With these words,
if somebody wants to build a coal-fired plant, they can. It's just that it will be.
Marcus, you got change for a 20?